Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I'm ready for it. You ready?
Reaction.
We want it.
Reaction.
Hey,
we hungry.
Yes, we want action. Action you will get. You're tuned to the Cricket Show. Your host, Leon Francis, followed by a number of panelists.
We
invite you to be with us. For the next 3-4 hours, until 9 p.m. Our special guest this evening is Nyata, Lawrence Nyata Rowe. We will be having on board for fun, grateful for my help, and you are welcome to work for me. And with that said, let's get into the meat of things by giving the show its blessing. I just say hello to Mr. Henry Superzon early with me, and soon to be joined by the other panelists. I see Merchist is on as well over there in New York as well, and therefore we just going to say hello to Mr. Heath. Good evening to you, sir, and how are you?
Good evening, Leon. I am doing very well, thank you very much. Enjoying the warm and excellent sunshine we have here in the golden state of California.
That sounds golden report as well. Yes, indeed. Good to hear your voice and hope all is well with you. But before we usually commence, what we do here is to give God's presence or bring him into the picture. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you for your giving us this opportunity to present yet another show. We thank you for all the years that you have allowed us to provide this show, and ask that you bless it and let it go on without any interruptions whatsoever. We pray also that you will keep your hands and eyes on our dear sisters and brothers who are struggling, namely my dear wife Eunice Francis, Dr. Leroy Lashley, Connie Whitley, Elimat, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Murchis, Nisbet, Elcomida, Willett, Wentworth, Francis, Dennis, Kelman, Isilma Cornelius, Ralston Otto, Joseph Guntrup, Willis Daniels, Fillmore Hallpike, Dr. Roger Brown, Earl Stevens. All those who have not expressed their concerns, Lord, we want you to touch their bodies, Lord. Heal them from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads. And trust that you just continue to improve them in some way or the other so that they can continue to do work. The work that you have put them here to do. We're grateful, Lord, also for the ones who help us financially to make it possible that we hear this show for the past 10 years. And we trust that you may just open their hearts, that they may just continue to contribute to this show that is bringing the cricket news around the world. We're grateful for all the participants who have come on in the past and those who are going to be coming in the future. And we're grateful for the ones who support us without any compensation. And for all the panelists, we are grateful for them all. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, without ado, let me just go on with the brief outline. You know, there are not much cricket that being played, Mr. Heath. But I'll just start with India versus England. And the test match went down to the wire. India winning there by some 7 runs. Scores India 329. At 329, when the innings were closed in the 48th or 49th over, England 322 for 9, India winning there by some 7 runs, as a result of which they won the ODI series by 2-1. Of course, India have also won the T20 and the Test series as well. We've gone through that before, but we know just to mention it. In passing, West Indies, of course, drew the first test match in a very very well-balanced and well-even test match. Sri Lanka 169 476, West Indies 271 and 236 for four. The second test match kicks off tomorrow at the same venue, starting at 10 o'clock. We hope West Indies will do much better to bring home a win. And the Sri Lankan fans, I'm sure they are hoping that their team will play well too. Get a sixth historic victory over in the West Indies. Afghanistan versus Zimbabwe, the test series were drawn, one match each. And in the T20, it was a three-match to nil win for Afghanistan. And that means that we have been whitewashed. Bangladesh, they were touring New Zealand in the first ODI. They were swept three matches to zero. And the first T20 saw New Zealand winning there by a big margin. I'll give you the score in later on. Just want to fill you in with some sad news, because the iconic India superstar Sachin Tendulkar, he has been tested positive for the COVID-19, and I'm sure, hopefully, that we pray that he too may just overcome this pandemic. And I'll just fill you in with some upcoming news about tours. Of course, you know, England are in India. They just finished their tour today with a loss. And also Sri Lanka, they will be playing until April the 2nd. March the 3rd to April 2nd, when the second test match will be expected to finish. Bangladesh are touring New Zealand, and they will tour from March the 20th to April the 1st. Pakistan are due to tour South Africa from April the 2nd to April the 16th. Bangladesh, they too will be touring Sri Lanka. Those matches will commence April the 5th to May the 3rd. And in June, New Zealand will be touring England, starting June the 2nd and will end on the 14th, while Ireland will tour the Netherlands June 4th to the June 9th. Sri Lanka are going to be touring England from June the 6th, the 18th to July the 4th. And then we come to the big one. The ICC World Cup Test Championship, the World Test Championship, not World Cup, World Test Champions Finals, and that will take place June 18th to the 22nd. I'm sure Mr. Heath will be going over in his MCC coach, hopefully. Pakistan are touring England July 8th to July 20th. South Africa will be touring Ireland July 11th to July the 25th, and India are going to be touring England from August the 4th to September 14th. Zimbabwe to tour Ireland August the 6th, August the 20th, and then in October, England will be touring Pakistan from October 14th to the October 15th. England in Pakistan, October 14 to 15. And then the big one that I want to mention, January 2022, England will be touring the West Indies from January 28, it is, to March 28. And we are up for a treat, because they're going to play some five tests, ODIs, and a couple of test matches. We're looking forward to those great, great, great matches. And that's about all I have, Mr. Heath. I just want to draw the fans' attention to the great the postponement of the West Indies annual general meeting, which was scheduled to be held today, but it was aborted because there was no quorum. The team from Barbados and from Guyana was a no-show, but there was an emergency board meeting of the other members, and the matter was suspended referred until April the 11th, 10 a.m. So again, the Westerlies annual general meeting, or the which will be electing the president and vice president. The board was postponed until July and April the 11th because of lack of quorum. In order to have a meeting, there should be 9 board members present. There were only 8. All right, so two of the 12 were missing. So that's it, Mr. Heath. Your take on anything that I have spoken about?
Well,
come on.
We seem to, yes, Leon, we seem to have quite a lot of interesting items on the menu today. But the first thing that strikes me here is you mentioned the upcoming tours. It's interesting to see that New Zealand will be in England in May. Sri Lanka will be in England in June. Pakistan will be in England in July.
Yes.
India will be in England in August. And if we think about it, England played West Indies during late last year. Now England was out in India. So England has been playing cricket since around about this time last year and continue right through till they reach the West Indies next year. However, the West Indies have this series against Sri Lanka. I mean, they've just come back from Bangladesh. But what's interesting now is that West Indies will have no cricket schedule as far as we can tell after the April, when Sri Lanka tour ends, until they meet England in 2022. That's a 9-month gap of not playing cricket. That's what it appears so far. So can we imagine what's likely to happen with England having cricket continuously for a year? So I'm hoping that somehow, somewhere, there may be plans afoot that we're not yet aware of to make sure that the West Indies do get to have some actions between April and December of the coming year. You know,
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've also omitted a couple events which I spoke about in previous presentation, because the England, they will be having the T20 blast, and that consists of some 123 T20 matches, which starts from the June the 9th until September the 18th. Imagine 133 T20 matches that is going to be played during that period. And also, let's not forget that the India Premier League is also due to start come April the 9th. And they will be playing some 60 T20 matches from April the 9th until May the 30th. And not even to forget that Pakistan Super League is yet to recommence. So a lot of cricket is being played, and a lot of West Indian folks are going to be involved. And perhaps West Indies may see the need to let their players go and make some money when one's playing some cricket.
I wasn't really criticizing them, Leon. I was just observing.
Very good observation, and that brings me to the point that I had omitted these two items, which I had been calling for the past 2 weeks, but I did not include them in my outline today. But it's a good observation. So, do you think England will get better?
Undoubtedly, England will be a force to be reckoned with during this coming series, because they've been playing so much cricket over the past year, and they'll continue there. So these guys will not be out of practice or out of shape. The one unfortunate thing, though, is that they run the risk of early injuries and the possibilities that star players may not be available. I note that Geoffrey Archer, they said he has a hand injury which will require some type of surgery. So quite likely, I'm not sure what the prognosis is in terms of his being able to come back quickly enough, but I know that he's likely to be out for at least a part of the upcoming matches. So who else may go down? Not that I'm, you know, wishing that to happen, but that's the point. When you play so much cricket, you run the risk of, you know, getting injured somewhere along the lines. Back to you.
Yes, what I understand that he's due to have some shoulder injury, and this may also prevent him from opening in the IPL too, because he has a great contract over there with his team. I don't know which one right now, but I know he had a contract, and that will prevent him. But England are nursing him because, you know, they...
Don't you think it's curious that with all the cricket that England has in, you know, on the register right now, that they would release a star player like Jofra Archer to go and play in the IPL? I'm not suggesting that they're doing anything sort of underhanded, but England has a lot of cricket to play, yet they would allow one of their star players to take some time out to go and play elsewhere. I just find that kind of curious, Leon.
But you know, his participation would be limited, because when once England are playing and they need him, by rights, he has to be released and go back to England at least a week before in order to prepare for the upcoming series or the upcoming match. So, and that is done with Stokes as well, and Bairstow, and you name it, you know. These are players that will go and get a piece of the ante and come right back home. But some of our West Indian players are not that. They wanted to, most of the time, want to play most of the match so they can get more money in their kitty. So
fully understand and grasp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just
and West Indies have
mm-hmm.
West Indies have made a window open so that all players they seldom schedule any matches. I don't know if the domestic tournament will commence during this period, so West Indies might be playing domestic cricket. The local, I think, the 4-day matches will be played. So I don't know if that is be the case, but hopefully we will not be stale. We will have some work to do, and then if my mind serves me right, it might be a tour over in Canada too. Canada usually have their tour around the time too. So there's cricket to be played. And of course, over here in the US Open and the works, cricket are going to be played. But West Indies will find work to do, because I'm sure they want to be prepared for the World Cup in 3 months' time.
But
it's the end of this month, end of... this year or so, the World Cup, the T20, and they're the defending champs. So, talk to us.
You know, the interesting thing here, Leon, is that with the amount of limited overs cricket, the players who are contracted for the Test series, they are the ones that are causing me concern, because they seemingly will not be appearing in any or in many, if any, of these matches. So their physical fitness and their keeping their eyes in and the ability to go out there and you know, make something happen will be limited by lack of match practice. So
mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about the Test playing group of players, as opposed to the T20 and the one-day matches. And this is really where I'm having some great concerns.
Right. Yes, indeed. And that I hope that there is something scheduled for them and don't have them there. They're just getting stale or getting rusty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everything is going to be prepared for them. But, you know, they're contracted, so they're duty-bound to be kept for them to keep themselves fit, so that if they're called. And I see Alzari Joseph and Roach have gotten contracts. Well, Alzari Joseph is going on to Worcestershire. Well, Roach, I'm not too sure which county he's going to, but he's in also a contract. So you got two players that are really needed of some practice and some, of course, improvement in their bowling technique. You know, they may benefit from being involved in the counties. One player I'd love, if I had the money and the wherewithal, I would invest the money and send Gabriel to do some training, because I'm not convinced that he's getting enough out of his speed. He's potentially a good player that can get more wickets, and obviously he is not being able to do that. And he looks so labored. Give me a moment. And so he looks so labored when he comes up to the wicket. He's laboring. And after a couple of over, maybe because he was being quarantined and the works, that he was not getting enough exercise. But you have to find a way to do what you have to do to keep yourself fit. You can run indoors, can't you? COVID does not prevent you from exercising in your room. Run. And do the works and lift weights inside, does it? But let me hear from you. You may have a different viewpoint.
Well, my point here, Leon, is that you're suggesting that he's got the potential, he's a quick bowler. But if we look back over the history of the West Indies, how many quick bowlers we have, why is it that he's not being mentored by one of our players? And perhaps I should rephrase that. It's not why. It's quite likely that it may well be, but he certainly have plenty of mentors available who could take him on their wings and try to straighten out the shortcomings that you're alluding to. But certainly in terms of getting fit, there's plenty of treadmill machines and so on, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, a stretch around the block now and again. That is allowed, I believe. So in terms of fitness, you should be able to get fit. Back to you.
I'm sure that's available to him, and those equipment are available to him on the local association in Trinidad might have had an abundance of that. And it would be to his advantage, or to his, you know, own self-interest for him to go in and do a regular, you know, get himself ready. Get yourself ready. You never know. You know, as a quick bowler, you need to be fit like a fiddler. You need to be sharp. And with his pace, you know, and he is running in from an end and is fit. You know, it's no better sight in cricket when you see a fast bowler flies in, bounce it, pitching a yorker up, or even being hit to the boundary. You like it, although it's not pleasing to the bowler, but you like it. The spectator will be excited and running around the boundary and taking the catches. You know, Cottrell is one, for instance. To me, I was surprised when I hear he wasn't fit, because I saw him in England and took some magnificent boundary catches. And that's a sign that a player is putting in the work. And he's running and jumping, and he's a pace man as well. But what can we say? We need to, players have got to invest in themselves too. If the board doesn't provide it, if clubs don't do it, if the country don't do it, have some interest, because this day and age, you are due to get big sums of money for your playing cricket. And it's not just a pastime. It's a career.
It's your job. Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting here, Liam, is the fact that, as you know, previously I've been quite concerned that not enough West Indian players were getting the opportunity to play in England. But now I can see that with Alzari Joseph, Roach, and others who have made themselves and improved their, you know, their performances, they are now getting the opportunities to actually get signed to not only English county teams and other teams, but the IPL and the Pakistan League and all these other one-day and T20 matches. So I'm beginning to see a greater opportunities being available to the West Indians. They just need to make themselves available, get fit, get discipline, and, you know, put themselves out there, get noticed by their performances. And it's good that we see Roach and Alzari by their ability being offered the opportunities to shine abroad.
Yeah, that is significant and it's important. It's very important that these guys take these opportunities that they're getting and use it, because, you know, Alzari is potentially a great player, but we have not seen the best of him. You recall he's getting 6'12" in the IPL some years ago, and bowled one of the best spells against England, and his mother had died the day before, and he went there and bowled, and now it seems as if he's not able to get that form. But his batting is improving. He made an 80 yard in two occasions. I think one is in New Zealand and one in Bangladesh. So someone saw something in him that they think they can explore and it can help him improve.
And can we perhaps switch to the lack of quorum here on the...
That's a very good topic. Lack of quorum. Why should there be a lack of quorum when a meeting was sent out notifying everyone, and you chose not to show up how do you look at that? That should be punishable by some way. That's not just... Go ahead. You give me your thoughts first.
That's my great concern here, that politics is creeping into this, and that is just not what we want to see in West Indies cricket, because we're at a place now where we need to start rising up, and it appears that politics and self-interest and selfishness might just be coming back into it, because it's interesting that one of the missing vote from this meeting was the individual who is actually wanting to run for the presidency here. And it makes me wonder if perhaps he might have been talking to people and got the impression that maybe his support may not have been as strong as he thought. And as a result of that, he wanted to buy a little more time to see if he could persuade. This is my speculation, of course. This is not based on any insight or any other knowledge, but I'm just reading the tea leaves, so to speak. It really is sad to see that type of, dare I say, if it's not selfishness, then it's lack of discipline, because this meeting was long arranged and it should not have been called off because of the lack of a quorum, not at all.
Let's examine the reasoning behind their absence. I don't know if you heard the reason behind their absence. It's because they were not in favor of a vote by show of hands. They wanted a secret ballot. That's what I heard. I hope I'm correct. But what difference does it make if a show of hands or by secret ballot?
Well, it appears that he's afraid. Well, I shouldn't say he's afraid, but it appears that by showing your hands, you get to know, quote unquote, who your friends and, quote, your enemies are. Because obviously you figure that it's some...
Hold your thoughts there, because if someone votes for someone else, it doesn't mean that they are against you. They may, I don't say against you per se, but they prefer to have this other guy being my choice. You know, not that you are his enemy. If you say come on the board here and say that you're not in favor of India winning, you're choosing India to win the Test Championship. You're not against New Zealand, but you just feel that this is the right thing to do. But let's pause because Jatin has come in with us. He may just want to join in the conversation before he branches off into his. So, Jatin, welcome. We have Dennis on with me. And you are three. And three is company. Come on, Jatin. Talk to us.
Yes, good evening, everyone.
Yes, good evening. Yes, indeed.
Good evening, Jatin.
So we were talking, I'm sure you're familiar, Jatin, with the reasoning behind the no-show of the two delegates. Would such a thing happen in India?
Normally don't, because these are like not a frequent meetings. It's maybe routine, like monthly, quarterly, something
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that depends on the importance of the meetings. And usually the agenda, normally most of the delegates should be available. And we have not seen this kind of situation in India, typically, because India is always upbeat. But the top of that, India has a larger pool in terms of the quorum. It's not, I think it's a 29 or 31, something like that. So, you know, it's like even few guys don't show. They have enough to deal with it, right? Over here, I believe they have 9 or 11, and that is the huge issue.
It's
you know?
12. 12 is the maximum. 9 makes a quorum. So it means that
yes.
each board has two. Has two,
yep.
two votes. So that makes 12. 2 to 12. And if they don't have 9, they don't have a quorum. That's about 75%, that's a high margin though, okay, for a quorum. But nevertheless, that's what it is. But I'm talking about the fact that you were notified in time. You didn't give the West Indies Cricket Board, to my knowledge, notice that you were not going to attend. It West Indies Cricket Board has to incur expenses and to have another meeting. Don't you think something... they should be punished for that in some way?
Well, this may be a learning process for the West Indies management. Such things supposed not to happen in first place. Number two, these people need to be serious about what they're doing. These are normally the elected officials. It's not appointed officials where you have voluntary decision over there. Top of that, I feel if they are paid by the expense from the board, they're supposed to be the serious. This is not about losing money. At the same time, they must have timely, proper communication, which could have avoided this situation. That's what I stand.
But the irony I heard is that they called an emergency meeting, and I was told, I'm subject to be corrected, that Babis turned up at the emergency meeting. So what do you make of that, Mr. Heath?
Well, even if it's an emergency meeting, I will say, again, it goes back to the communication. Normally, I'm not sure what the constitution is, but normally, let's say, secretary is responsible to hold such meeting, and they're supposed to communicate well in advance, or even it's an emergency, make sure it go maybe one round or maybe two rounds to make sure that everyone is being communicated, everyone is agreed to meet at certain time or something, and they need to make sure to proceed with the agenda. So we don't know. We just hear from probably the normal media release, and we have to wait and watch to see what is the excuse or what is the explanation we are getting from those people who are part of a no-show.
Leon, as I see my information from the research on Crick Info shows that Hope, not only was he away from the quorum, he later attended the emergency meeting.
Yes.
And he opposed the new date of April 11th for the next meeting. Oh. So it does make it does make me wonder if what's going on here is pure politics and not really, you know, not the interest of the West Indies cricket, but the interest of somebody else. I think some personal, there's a lot of personality conflict going on within the group by the sound of things. And it is a shame because for years the West Indies have been down in the doldrums and suddenly they are beginning to build. And we need to make, you know, improvement on the momentum that's been started. And so it is really, really very sad to see this. Back to you.
But yes, but I'm saying, what could should have happened when he returned to the meeting? They reconvene the general meeting and hold elections. Because then they will have a vote. And they will have they will have a quorum. They could vote to do that now, couldn't they?
Leon, it's possible that what happened, the meeting was called off, and then later on, an emergency meeting was then called, at which point, you know, a phone call here, and certainly somebody else shows up, and others might well have, you know, decided to sit out. But this to me... I hear where you're going with this, but it may be that because the meeting was already cancelled and called, it was not possible to just rearrange it there on the spot. But that's it. Again,
personally, well, it's not a matter of on the spot that they have to travel. I understand now that I understand it's by Zoom, right? So then it's a virtual meeting. So it's not that they travel by aircraft and they had to go and come back or they had to go to the hotel. You know, it was easy to be arranged. But I don't know if that is possible, but I'm just suggesting that that definitely be a case.
I'm wondering if for the emergency meeting, whether they require a quorum as well. And in this case, you are perhaps...
But how can they have come to a decision then? How can they come to a decision above the date then, if they
but surely those who were there would have said that they rearrange this meeting.
But does it require a quorum to rearrange or to reschedule a meeting? Does it require a quorum?
Probably not. It's most likely that the group said, well, we don't have a quorum, so let's rearrange the meeting. So the chairman of the group or the secretary would have said, okay, let's reschedule this meeting for the 11th.
I'm talking when the delegate from Barbados arrived. That's the point I'm taking up now. When he arrived, we had 9. I don't know if we had 10. We had 9. Okay, based on what you're saying. They had a quorum. Could they not convene and ask the members, and they would have enough people to say yes or no, and hold the annual general meeting, and let them take it to court. If they don't,
I suspect strongly, Leon, that once the first meeting for the vote was called off, they decided that it wasn't in the best interest of everyone to reschedule it 10 minutes later. It's possible that they said, okay, that's a done deal. Let's see if we can iron out the problems and reschedule. And they agreed to stick with that. But the fact that Hope later questioned the date, it, you know, suggests to me that there might be more afoot here than we can see, unless we get some more information to the contrary. And that's where my thought process is taking me.
Well, let's hear from Jatin. What's your take? Anything further that you can add?
Well, first of all, they should have scheduled a meeting with the mutual agreement to make sure that everyone is available. Number two, we are not sure the transportation situation as well as this COVID situation or any other factor could have been in a way for some people for travel. But nowadays we see lots of meetings going on virtually, online. So I don't see why the reason is to have to go each and everyone face to face. They could have those missing members or delegates into the meeting room through the video conference or something like that. You know, that is also a valid attendance in almost every business nowadays.
But it was virtual. It was a virtual meeting. They didn't have to travel from Guyana. They didn't have to travel from Barbados. They didn't have to travel from Jamaica. All the other meet guys were in place. So, I don't know. It is an insult to West Indies cricket for them not to show up. Shame on them. I guess. Insult.
Yeah.
If you don't...
What, Dennis?
Go ahead. If you are going to have a meeting, an annual general meeting, you're notified long before, and because you were told about show of hands versus secret ballot, what difference you make? If a guy going to vote for you, vote for you. If you don't vote for you, don't vote for you. So let's move on. I think it's discouraging, and we never get any place like this. Never get any place like this.
We'll never agree.
Jatin, India got away by the skin of the teeth, man. 7 runs victory over England. Oh my goodness. 2-1 series, and they seem to know how to play in the last match of the various formats. Winning 3 series and 3 formats. Go ahead, talk to us. What is
Nothing much a concern when you see a outcome, the final result, they won it. India is going through a lot of panic, I would say, in 2021, which began with that 36 all out in Australia, I will say. But since then, there are lots of ups rather than we see few downs. And that's the beauty. If you look at this particular series in England, they started well, winning that first test. And after that, India ended up winning test series. Then they tied and almost there until the last over in that T20. And now again, there's a very exciting series on ODI side. But India won all 3 format against England. It's been a long quarter. There's a 90 days, last 90 days, lot of international cricket for India. And then top of that, we have lots of injuries, which did a lot of setbacks. A lot of frontline players are not in a starting 11 in any format. And good thing to see is we got a lot of new talent who got the opportunities to do something. And they took their chance. Spot, I will say. They perform and show the world that they can play at this level. Today, I did see highlights. And I will say a couple of guys had a bad day, including the main all-rounder, Hardik Pandya. We normally don't expect that a good all-rounder can drop like a couple of catches. Even he had both hands to it. And it's just unfortunate. When they drop, I think, 4 or 5 good catches where the people had 2 hands on it and you drop it off, that's not you want to see at this level. And then good thing to see on England side that the young fellow Sam Curran put together a good show, I will say, under pressure. He was batting at number 8, and even though he pulled the team all the way to the last ball, and they had some hope. They can do well, and they can turn around the game. But end of the day, I will say the best thing India can hope for is the luck. And that is what they want this game. Otherwise, their fielding performance, batting performance, and some bowling performance does not deserve win. Please, they all show up something when it came out to the finish line. last tour was definitely the great one to see from this young fellow who is barely playing his second ODI, and he defended those 14 runs, did not give away big boundary except that 1-4, and that's the beauty we are looking at this in the India team, that the newcomers or inexperienced players joining the team and they are putting their best show. So at the moment, I will say with the IPL coming up and looking into the World Cup in October in India, this will be the huge factor. And during this series, they have rested so many players, either injured or some other reasons. And I will say India is in a very competitive position, and it should be the tough decision to pick even starting 11 at any game in upcoming series or World Cup.
Pete, what say you? What, anything to add to what Jatin said? Dennis?
Well, I give credit to the Indian side. There were 6 players who came out and shone like stars because they all made very good runs. They had 2 partnerships of almost 199, one of 100 and one of 99. And between those 6, they put on a massive total of 329. So they did very well. And, of course, their young bowler, bowlers also chipped in with, because Kumar, Thakur, 4 for 67, and Kumar with 3 for 42. Those were excellent bowling because the little bit of this game that I saw, England was going very well. But, you know, what's interesting about this one-day series is that the average run scored in the ODI in these series has been 300-plus. And each match was well contested with lots of excitement and interest. And I'm still curious as to the fans that allowed into these matches because they really do seem to enjoy the game. But it's quite a lot considering we're all being locked down from COVID, yet in India, there seem not to be any such lockdown in place. Can Jatin give us any information as to what's going on there?
Jatin? He seems not to be hearing you. Jatin, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Did you hear the question?
No. Can you repeat that? I was lost for a moment.
Yes.
So.
I was saying that in India, there's a, you know, average 300-plus in each innings of these one-day games. And it seems that the matches was well contested with lots of excitement and interest, and lots of crowds of cheering supporters and fans. And I'm wondering, with COVID in full bloom everywhere and lockdown taking place, how is it that we have so many Indian fans in the stand enjoying the game? Not that I'm taking anything away, but I'm just curious as to the rationale. How is it that so many fans are in the stadium?
Yeah. Well, let me bring back Jatin because he always dropped. You're back on, Jatin. Yes.
Yes, it's the situation is in this particular ODI series, when they did 3 ODI in one ground, same stadium, same place. So looking at this virus situation and manpower and the preparation, you don't expect quality pitches. When they work around quick, or when they use the drop-in pitch, or when they are looking for something in a short time, you expect to be a flat pitches, not much variation from the pitch. Usually these are a little bit harder pitches than they normally prepare. And what happens to it, basically, it's all beauty on a batting side. That is what it's end up, 300-plus runs in each ODI. And honestly, in today's world, this show going to carry on because everyone wants to see sixes and fours, Nobody wants to see a game with the low scoring, and the ballers are doing a lot of work there. And that's like one reason. And I think it's fair enough for the both side. I did not see any disadvantage to anyone. And most of the ballers took the wicket is because of this, I call it smart bowling. Either you bowl slow, you bowl spin, you bowl cutters, you can bowl the floaters. So there's a lot of variety we have to see in terms of the smart bowling. It's mm-hmm. not much from the pitch itself. And it's hot and temperature is not is like England where you expect the ball going to swim in air, actually. There is no movement in air. You can get a little bit off the pitch. But other than that, particularly this area, which is Pune, which is close to Bombay, about a couple of 3 hours, I think. And that's very tough. But again, it's like they could have done it because of the quick preparation. And we see the two different phases here. The new stadium had a low-scoring games, even in the test level, and the people did not like it. And now we have the high-scoring game on this different ground. So I think India is managing well between this pitch situation as long as they are finding a way to win it. And that's a beauty.
Can you tell us about the crowd, Jatin? How is it that we have so many fans there enjoying this game?
Not on this game. There was a limited crowd. The only crowd we had was I believe second or third T20. That was the largest crowd in this entire series. And unfortunately, immediately after the game, very next day, the local state government shut down the crowd again. So it is like a majority of the crowd we see is like a virtual crowd, or they are mixing up with this video technology. But in the stadium, there wasn't big crowd.
Okay. Well, that might be the case, because each time I see the game, I see a lot of fans reacting to the game. But you're right. It could well be video technology.
Well, they are using right now. If you look at it, a series in Australia, they had a crowd noise coming from the previous game, recorded one. They usually slide in. So you can see the huge cheer. You feel like a stadium is a fact, but really don't.
Yes.
And they are same thing using on crowd too. So it's not a real, you need to see a live cricket when it's ongoing. And when the cameras are moving, at that point you need to see the stands, how many people out there. Because
Yes. Gentlemen, just hold a while because we have Virgil with us. Virgil, good evening to you. You have Virgil, you have Jatin, and you have Dennis on so far. Come on in, Virgil.
Yeah, good evening to all the panelists and good evening to all the listeners all over the world.
Yes, indeed. Okay.
Good evening, Virgil.
So we're going to pick it up with you a little later on, but Jatin was on. Jatin, continue. And we're going to extend this session till about 15 minutes after 7 this evening, because we're a little delayed with our information for the birthday hour. So we will go until then. So go on, Jatin. And Virgil, join in and pick it up from where you come in and meet us. Jatin, as you were saying.
Well, not much. I completed my way, so just to wait for the other comments or concern or questions, and we can go from there.
Well, let's touch off on the draw for the West Indies against Sri Lanka. Wonderful draw, wasn't it, Virgil? You saw much of it, or you didn't see?
No, I didn't see the game. I heard about it after, but I was doing something else, so I didn't get to watch it. But that was wonderful. I was happy because I was concerning about that amount of runs and hope it doesn't lose the game. So for a draw, I was feeling very happy for the West Indies.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, what say you?
First, the match ended in a draw. However, there were so many individual performances that would have had paying spectators rooted to their seat, Leon. First, there was the stalwart performance of Tirimane, 70, and Di Quella, 32, that gave Sri Lanka that total of 169. Meanwhile, Kimar Roach, 3 for 47, and Jason Holder, didn't they perform well? They struck Sri Lanka very hard for this low score. In turn, when West Indies batted their first innings, steady performances by West Indies led by late charging Rakeem Cornwall. West Indies fought hard against the Sri Lankan menacing and wily bullets. They were really so wonderful to watch them bowling and attacking. Lakmal 5 for 47, Fernando 2 for 52, Chamira 2 for 71. West Indies total 271, a lead of 142. Now, in their second innings, Sri Lanka batted with renewed strength and determination, scoring an amazing total of 476. Credit to the Sri Lankan batting lineup. Tirimani again, Fernando 91, De Silva 50, and Nusanka a ton, with Di Quella just missing out on 96. Sri Lanka batsmen amassed 550s in this second innings, with West Indies bowler Toil, Roach again with 3 for 74, Cornwall 3 for very, very many. So West Indies set to score that 335 to win. The West Indies batsmen played cautiously against the Sri Lankan bowlers. At no time did the West Indies take up the challenge. They were watchful and disciplined. In particular, credit goes to Bonner, who scored a maiden ton, not out, and Mayer's 52. West Indies managed 236 for 4, and the match ended in a draw. The second and final test tomorrow, so we wait with bated breath to see what will happen in this one. But all told, we see the West Indies beginning to take this game seriously and giving us some pride and satisfaction and joy at how they are tackling this score. So back to you, Leon.
Yeah, very nice summary, dear. What say you, Virgil? Anything? Or what say you, Jatin, rather?
Let me just say something there. I think you, what's his name again? That just came
Dennis.
Up.
Dennis.
I think you make a great commentator, man. You just give the piece so sweet. It's just like if I was there watching the game. And that was very wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so, Jatin, what say you? That's a wonderful summary. Yes, he specializes in the summer, right? Because he has, since he's been with us, he has made a couple of commentary, and they stood out. Jatin, what say you? Dennis is
Dennis did cover well. It's like his sequence of notes, I will say, the way you.
What stood out to you, Jatin? What stood out to you mostly in that draw and test match? You think any side can say that they had a victor in that contest?
Well, the contest is definitely the both sides. Sri Lanka batted very well on the fourth day for sure. And even they had a little bit down. They did not start it well in their test match during first inning, and they came back and did a couple of good partnerships with the younger, inexperienced players putting good performances. And I like to say on the West Indies side, the last day was is really great to see after so many years that these young and inexperienced batsmen are taking the test very seriously, the way it's supposed to be.
Talking about Holy Last Tubby, because I observe there is either an Indian batting coach, am I right, or is he a Pakistani? Do you know?
No, he's from my back home native place. He's basically a very good coach. He has worked with these Rajasthan Royals previously. He was also a national coach for Canada. His name is Monty Desai.
Monty Desai.
Yes. And he has a very good expertise and experience. And I believe he is putting real hard work behind these West Indies upcoming cricketers. to see if they can perform on a consistent basis. And it does get paid off, what the West Indies is putting investment in specialist coaches. I believe Monty Desai was hired way before West Indies went to New Zealand. He was in New Zealand also.
He was in New Zealand.
He was and he was also a coach here in U.S. Open when we had this champion team. The Chris Gayle played with the Paramvir Atlanta. He was the coach, head coach for that team.
Okay.
He's, based in North Carolina for a while, but he is doing more on and off from India and U.S. for his coaching. And lately, as I say, he coached Canada as well as now shifting into the West Indies side. So he is being getting his reward, I will say, with his reputation as a talented. But in the West Indies lineup right now, he's just a batting coach, which is good enough.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, question to you. When last have you seen a West Indian batsman batting a whole day and being not dismissed? You tell me. When was the last time that you saw a batsman who batted the whole day and started the evening and came out the next day and batted the whole day?
I can only think back to the series in England in the 60s and the 70s, you know, but I've missed a few games in between because of my work and my travels, and so I wasn't able to really follow it as closely as that. But what I'm seeing here is enough to make sure that I am rooted to the set from this point forward, because I see, I've asked the question before, mm-hmm. was West Indies series in Bangladesh a flash in the pan? And each week after that, I keep seeing the improvements in the West Indies, and I think that this is more than a flash in the pan now. I'm beginning to become a convert here. I think mm-hmm. that the West Indies are on the rise. And this is why it is so sad to see what's going on with this vote to elect the president of the West Indies Cricket Board.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Hold your thoughts there, because we want to welcome Audley, fresh from work. You know, he's a hard working man. Works late on Sundays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Audley, welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Francis,
evening,
my fellow panelists. It's good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to our listeners throughout the world. Yes, it's a wonderful Sunday evening, and Leon, I left a message to let you know that I won't be home, but yeah. So I'm parked somewhere now, so I'll be able to give you the Walter Henry birthday anniversary.
All right. Let's pause for a cause then as Audley comes in and give us that section. And he has. So, Jatin, I don't know if you want to be with us or drop back a little later.
I'll be coming back.
Okay, good. And remember, this evening we are hoping to hear from Lawrence, the great Roe. So we just reminded him a while ago. So we hope that all is well with him. So, Audley, go right ahead. Go right ahead. We were hoping to do it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. It's the time of the evening, and we take a look in the cricketing fraternity, and we say hello, happy birthday, and it's when you can also call in, 515-605-9850, 515-605-9850. Welcome to the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. We're going to, today being the 28th of March, we're going to start with that one. And we have a relative of one Mr. Leon Francis, Miguel Francis, out of Antigua Barbuda. Miguel Francis celebrating a birthday today. He turns 26 year old, still young.
On a point of correction, he's not an Antiguan anymore, you know. He's an Englishman now.
He represents Britain, yeah, but he was born
there. Yes, man.
Okay. All right. You got to demonstrate and get him back.
Yeah, we're hoping to get him back.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. So some cricket now. Margaret Lockwood, Nasser Hussain, and Sarah Clark, all from England. Mm-hmm. Ray Emery, Sarah McLeishan from New Zealand. Pali Omrigar and T.S. Sekar from India. We have Laura Mullins and Sonia Rimbottom from Ireland. Ashok De Silva from Sri Lanka. Shafiq Ahmed and Atoyu Rahman from Pakistan. Andy Withal from Zimbabwe and Matt Renshaw from Australia. For the 29th of March, Leslie Hilton from Jamaica and Yutan Dow, Jamaican Quinella 1-2. Jeff Howard from New Zealand, Sam Luxton, Don Nash, and Michael Nasser from Australia, Tom Haywood from England. We have Subhigil Sundaran from India, Henk Jan Mul from the Netherlands, and Luigi Ngidi from South Africa. We have the 30th of March, the debut of the great Sir Garfield Sobers. Yes, he debuted back in 1954 versus England, Sir Garfield Sobers. And we have birthdays, Chuck Fleetwood Smith from Australia, along with Wally Grout, wicketkeeper Martin Love, Emma Fiddle, and Sarah Coit, all from Australia. Norman Gifford from England, Jack Cowie from New Zealand, and Mike Scott from Scotland. For the 31st, the final day of March, we have a big birthday here. Big birthday, the first black heavyweight champion of the world, Jack Johnson. He was born way back in 1878. And the first, black heavyweight champion. The champion in his days, when he wanted to get that challenge, was Tommy Burns, a Canadian-born heavyweight champion. And he followed Tommy Burns around whenever he fights. He'd make sure he purchased a ringside ticket, and he'd be watching him. Hey, call him out. Hey, you need to fight me. You need to fight me. He followed him around America, followed him Italy, and he followed him to Australia, down under. And finally, he got the chance to fight. The guy gave in, and he gave Johnson a fight. And, of course, Johnson toyed with him. And, you know, eventually police stopped the fight in the 14th round because and declared Johnson the winner. He was such a superior boxer. So Galveston Giant, and as he's called, out of Texas, Johnson's birthday celebrated will be on the 31st of March. Okay, cricket. Fred Smith, Clement Johnson, Godfrey Lawrence, and Hassan Amla, all from South Africa. Arunga Gunawardene, and Marlon Boyd from Sri Lanka. Laurie Millen, Robert H. Vance from New Zealand. Aftab Gul from Pakistan. Paul Grayson from England. Adam Zampa from Australia. For the 1st of January, Jimmy Cliff out of Jamaica, international reggae singer and movie star. Jimmy Cliff will be celebrating. Back to cricket, we have John Murray, Arnie Sidebottom, David Gower. David Gower, of course, the captain that has lost all his 10 matches that he captained against the West Indies in the Wisden Trophy. 0-10. Okay, John Morris, Walter Maid, and young Jafra Archer, all from England. Stephen Fleming, Sue Brown from New Zealand, Aftab Bolash, and Shimran Khan, female cricketer, Balwinder Singh Sr., Ajit Wadekar, and Murali Vijay, all from India. And Animal Islam Jr. from Bangladesh, and Hino comes from South Africa. For the second, we have out of Jamaica, Garnet Silk. He died on that day. We have the women's, India winning the women's not the women. India won their second World Cup in 2011, the Indian men's team. 2011, they won their second World Cup. And West Indian men won the T20, 2016. The West Indies men won the T20 World Cup 2016. And that's on the 2nd of April. So quite a little celebration there. And Marvin Gaye was born on that date, way back in 1939. Back to cricket, we have Dermot Reeves and Neville Cardus from England, Ken McCleary and Michael Clark from England, Richard Collins, Tom Latham from New Zealand, Hamoud Hassan from Pakistan, Narul Haq from Afghanistan, Leslie Lee, wicketkeeper, female cricketer from South Africa. And finally, on the 3rd, which I think is Saturday, we have our brother who left us some time ago, Stafford Young. It will be the first anniversary. Yes, he died. Believe it or not, this Saturday will be a year, Leon, since Stafford left us. Stafford Young. And you also have some bittersweet because your brother, Alwyn, also died on the same day. Right? And you also have some anniversary, a wedding anniversary, Carmen and her husband. We'll be having a wedding anniversary. So you have a bittersweet there, Leon. So you have to skip from one to the other. But yes, your brother would be a year along with Stafford since they died.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Yes.
Right, so Saturday morning program, right, you know that.
Yes.
So West Indies women won the World Cup in 2016 also on this date, the 3rd of April 2016. Oh, back to cricket. Australia, Jimmy Matthews. Born on that day, the 3rd of April. Brandon Clover from the Netherlands. Zakir Khan and Shakur Rana from Pakistan. Tasnim Ahmed from Bangladesh. Ajay Sharma and Nilesh Kulrani. Shubhta Gupta, all from India. Cliff Goldwyn from England. Tashira Pereira from Sri Lanka. We have Richie Barrington out of Scotland and Sherwin Chatagoon from Guyana. We'll be celebrating all on that day. So that's what I have here for you right now, Leon.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Back to you.
Yes, indeed. I just wanted to invite Virgil to come in while I bring in a special guest I want to celebrate this evening, a special friend of mine. So Virgil, why don't you come in and then we'll...
Okay. I have a special, real special birthday. My nephew celebrated his birthday yesterday. Last year while I was home, he was 4 years old last year while I was home in the quarantine from with the lockdown.
COVID.
And I was on my property picking up stone. And at 4 years old, this little kid will come up. I want the most helpful little kid you can ever think about. He said his name is Spider-Man. He called himself Spider-Man. He liked to climb on the rocks and all over. So, Caden, he's in New York right now today. Yesterday, he celebrated his 5th birthday. Caden, I want to tell you happy, happy, happy birthday. I love you very much. And I wish you all the best on your birthday. And make sure you tell your daddy to buy you the cricket ball and the cricket bat because I want you to be one of the best cricketers that comes around in this era. So happy, happy birthday, Caden. Enjoy your day, which I know you enjoyed yesterday, and I wish you all the best, bro.
How about you, Dennis? Dennis, what say you? You have anything?
Birthday, no birthday,
oh,
but
anniversary.
Go ahead. My brother, Stanley Heath Jr. up in Connecticut, he has his 24th wedding anniversary celebration tomorrow, and I want to wish him a very, very happy day and lots of memories of that first year. Now they've reached 24, right there behind me climbing. So happy birthday to you there, brother, and your wife, Caroline. Thanks. That's me. Back to you, Leon.
Yes, I'm just making a connection to my special guests. Let me see if I have them on. Okay. Well, yes, I think I have them on. Good evening to you, Hannah. And
good evening.
Good evening, and yes, okay. Friends, I just want to just bring your attention to some of my favorite people in this world, my dear friends, Hannah and Lionel Wade. We have been friends for a number of years, and you could not have found a better couple. Lionel and Hannah celebrated 12 years of anniversary during the week, and they're my personal friends. Just to mention, whenever I go to Miami, they volunteer to keep me up and, you know, make sure that I'm well taken care of. And you couldn't find a nicer couple. And Lionel and I, we usually go to the hospital to visit sick and sing some wonderful songs and pray with them as well. So I treasure both Lionel and Hannah. They are my brother and sister from another mother and another father. I really tell you that there's nothing that I wouldn't do for these folks. They're my friends, and they're friends for life. We just want to congratulate you on behalf of your attaining 12 years of marriage, and we hope that you may continue to have many, many years of joy, happiness, and good health. God bless you all, and it was a wonderful, wonderful day when I met you both. Thank you so much.
Yes,
we do have. Yeah, we do have a couple of people. I know they will want to say something to you. It's a couple of my friends. Audley, why don't you say hello to Lionel and Hannah? Lionel is an American by birth.
What's the last name? What's the last name?
Wade.
What's
Wade.
Last name?
Yeah, Wade. And Hannah is from Jamaica. So,
yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Wade. I just want to say congratulations to you guys. 12 years of a good marriage. You know, I know it's not always bliss. as a man of experience, I know that. But, you know, the thing is, what caused stick to it, you know, stick to it, the good times and the not so good times. And, you know, the Lord bless your marriage. And I'm so happy that you guys are still together. Just want to wish you the best, and want to wish you guys will be catching up with Leon and our other friend on the show in the 50s. So we just want to wish you the best. God bless and keep you guys.
Yeah. We have another friend. He's also from Jamaica, Dennis Heath. Dennis, say hello to my friends and wish them well on the anniversary.
Lionel and Hannah, I want to wish you every good cheers for your anniversary. And at the same time, I want to appreciate very much the fact that you mean so much to Leon, because we all need that special friend. And I can attest to that, because I have a friend from high school. I'm now retired, age 70, and I have a friend from high school when we were, 13 years old. We're still going strong. And there's absolutely nothing that I wouldn't do for them and they wouldn't do for me. So I can appreciate it very, very much when Leon expressed how much you mean to them, to him, how much you both mean to him. And there's nothing like having a great friendship. Thank you so much for all the things you do for Leon. And I wish you well and happy anniversary.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Final one is Virgil Francis. He comes from Antigua. And say hello to Hannah and Lionel for me.
Yeah, good evening, both of you. I just want to wish you guys a happy 12-year anniversary. And I wish you all the best and keep on going until you can cross that 50 line and then you head for that century.
We hear from you, Hannah, and then Lionel. Anything you want to say, mention?
No, just that, you know, the same thing. It's good to have friends that you can trust, friends that when you're around them, you feel, you know, so comfortable. They make you feel love and they make you feel special. And that's what I can say, you know, knowing you, Leon, from way back, that, you know, you've always been there for me. You've always been someone genuine, and it's hard to find genuine people these days, you know, and you've always been truthful. And that's so important, and I just really appreciate you, and just you always go out of your way to, you know, I remember you bringing me mangoes, banana, whatever. You always just shared and just, and you know, and the same here. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you, you know, for you and Eunice and your family, and I just thank God for the day that, you know, that I, you know, got to know you, and for us just maintaining, even though you're miles away, that, you know, I still feel like we're still close, and I really appreciate that.
Yep. And Lionel, I miss going to the hospital with you, and I was something that I deeply, deeply treasured, and it just been like a vacuum out of me now. It's not there anymore. So talk to us.
Leon, I know exactly how you feel with that. I'm going to say I have to add something, though, because you mentioned that we would go for our hospital visitations and sing. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know if you guys know it, but Leon has a really beautiful singing voice. Mine, not so much, but I sang loud. And so, that was all part of it. And just something I kind of crossed my mind today. I met Leon through my wife, Hannah, and we were married in Miami 12 years ago. And quite honestly, I ended up in a men's a group of Bible study with Leon, and I didn't recognize it until literally a few years later. We were going through the wedding pictures, and I realized that Leon had been at the wedding, and it was all a little embarrassing because from that time on, I had introduced I consider myself introducing myself to Leon, and come to find out he actually had known me. But I had just I do miss our hospital visitations. Those turned out it's a service, but it brought us blessings, and it was something that we just really enjoyed and would feel the presence of God using us in that. So with that, you and Eunice, you guys take care of each other, and we just look forward to the next time that if we make it up there, or when you make it back down to Miami.
Yes, indeed. And just I want to go out with this, because I want to go out with this tune. Let me do the right one that I want.
Mr. Francis, before you play the tune, can I just, I'll just play a little respond that the kid sent back to me. I'll just play it.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Virgil.
Thank you. I heard you on the show.
He just said it to me.
We celebrated last week, folks. So, but this special tune I've dedicated to you both. You know, I wish I could sing as much as this couple, but for you, Lionel and Hannah.
My there's only you in my life, the only thing that's right.
My first love, you're every breath that I take, you're every step I make.
I want to share all my love. two hearts that beat as one. Our life has just begun. I'll hold you close in my arms. I can't resist your charm.
Yes, my dear friends. Friends
beautiful,
for life.
Beautiful. Thank
friends
you, my
life.
Brother. Beautiful.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
We love you.
Yes.
We love you. Our family is feels special to have people like you
yes.
in our hearts and our, in our lives. And may you guys continue to live together and be
yes.
prosperous
yes.
and healthy. Regards to everyone.
Amen.
And we miss you.
All right.
Folks.
Take care.
Yes,
Leon, I'll just mention quickly in passing. Yesterday, when I was out, I ran across Ann and Leroy, and I got a chance to see them.
Did.
I was so happy.
Yes.
Yes. I had sent me out to pick up a meal, and I bumped into them, and they both looked well. Take care.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. All the best. I'm glad that you guys
All
were able to allow me to celebrate you folks on radio.
Thank you
okay.
so much. Okay.
Bye-bye. Anyone else want to say anything before we go? No more birthdays, no more anniversaries, no more
All right.
anything. Okay, close the door.
I have one. Just my friend of mine. And well, we grew up like my big sister. She's living in Canada, Connie Cuff, or Mrs. Cuff. Just want to wish you a happy birthday when it comes New Year. I mean, All Fool's Day, 1st of April. So, happy birthday when it comes. And so, this has been, and so, if that's all, this has been the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Just before we go, as usual, we just want to give a shout out to our friends in various parts of the world, wherever you are. We thank you for listening and continue to listen to us and enjoy our program. Tell others about it. And, of course, we're looking forward to have you each Sunday to spend time with you. So this has been the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Join us again next Sunday, God willing, when 7 o'clock in the p.m. we'll present the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. So Leon, I'm going to drop off right now. I'll join you later as I head home.
Okay, brother. Drive carefully. Okay. So Virgil, what's on your mind? Tell us. What's on your mind? Other than that Antigua is nice and English Harbor is beautiful.
Well, today I was watching a game with India.
Yes.
India. I didn't get to see the end of it, but I know India win at the end, and I think the half
by
I saw
runs.
Was a very good
by 7 runs.
It was a real nice game. But I didn't get to see the other half when England was batting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, gentlemen, let's talk about Dennis. Let's talk about the upcoming team for the second test match, which begins at 10 in Antigua. Dennis, would you make any changes?
No, I would not. I think that you give confidence to the team that you selected to the group. And I'm very reluctant to make any significant change there because you've got enough batting. The batting is sound. It's hard to think. Maybe the bowling team, but I think I would go along with what I have got.
You go along with what you have, okay.
No
room for Bravo. No room for Bravo. No room for Warrington.
Well, the unfortunate thing is that the present crop of players have demonstrated that fight. You know, the bowlers do not always dominate as we would like to see, but there is fight, there is spirit, there is laughter, there's camaraderie, there's friendship. I can see that we are grooming a team in the future will prove to be, you know, strong and reminiscent of past glory of the West Indies. So I would go along and not make any change unless I'm forced to make a change.
Forced to make a change. Back to me, yes, indeed. Virgil, before I bring you in, you know, I mentioned earlier on that it's very long time since we have seen a batsman that have batted for an entire day by a West Indian. It was a long time ago. And that is and it seems like people are fighting for the credit now, right? of his performance, you know. What do you have to say anything about that, about Dennis and Virgil?
Is it two tests they're playing? They're playing more than two tests?
Two test matches.
No, just
one?
Two.
Yeah.
I would have said yes, leave a team as it is, but since it's two tests, I think I would have given Bravo a chance because there's no other test playing, so I would have give him a knock at it. If there was another test coming up, I would have said for this one, just leave it as it is, but I would have given him a chance on that.
In light of his...
Would you take out?
Well, that's what I was going to ask him too. In place of whom? You're going to drop one of the pace bowlers? You're going to drop you're going to drop Cornwall? You're going to drop... Don't touch the Lord anointed Cornwall. Come on.
No.
Joseph in his hometown? You know...
No, you can't drop none of the bowlers. You wouldn't drop none of the bowler for another batman. That will too much work on the rest guys. But I didn't see the game and know how these guys perform, but I think somehow because it's just two tests, I would give him a chance somehow inside there. Because you gotta keep these guys active.
I would have dropped from the
batting department.
Leon, a challenge to Virgil. Come on, tell us who would you take out.
That's a question I can't tell you because I don't even know how this... I didn't get to see the end of the game. I didn't know how to perform, but it'll be hard to really say drop someone out. But just because it's two tests, I would like to give one day or the batman a chance to really... Because if something coming up, some of the test series coming up, at least a chance to really put himself out there. You know,
yeah,
so it's a hard choice.
But Virgil, you said...
Yes.
another player a chance, just on paper between us here. Go ahead and, you know, tell us, speculate us, just tell us who might you replace if you were, say, you know, the head of the coach here. Who would you replace? Go on, challenge.
The performance, from 1 to 5, I don't know how to perform. I didn't know who made runs, who failed, you know, but it's just hard for me to just say pick out someone, because I might just pick someone out of the blue and pick the wrong person, and that may be the same person that make a century. I didn't know how they perform, really. But,
I am challenging you, Mr. Virgo.
Yeah, if it was more than 2 tests, I would have said no, but just because it's the last test coming up, somehow, you know, either just somebody would have come out, don't know who, don't know how the guys perform.
You know, if it were a 3-match series, I would arrest Gabriel. I would have promoted Bonner to open, bringing Bravo 3, and drop the opener. Not Craig Bradford, the other opener. I would drop him and arrest Gabriel. Bring in Warrican. And Warrican would be in for Gabriel. Campbell, I bring in Bravo.
Challenge to Leon this time. Did Gabriel perform in Bangladesh?
He didn't get any wickets. And he didn't make any runs.
Okay.
So he didn't make any runs. And to me, I don't know. I don't have a feeling that he is, for a pace, he's up to the fitness level. To me, he was. He's not bowling like he used to bowl. I don't believe that we should discard him, but I think that we should just rest him.
But you realize that by dropping him from the side like that, you may just turn.
We're resting him. We're not moving him from the squad. We're leaving him. We're resting
but,
him. You know?
Yes, but you're not taking him out of the squad. But by simply dropping him from the test match to the player himself, that means that he's being discarded. And I think that at this point in time, because, you don't agree, but that's how I see it. That he
yes, you see
it
that way, and
way.
I can understand your point of view.
And so that's why I would leave the team as it is and look for other avenues and other ways to improve. I mean, those players who didn't go off to Bangladesh had their reasons why they didn't go. So there's no emphasis here for us to go ahead and, you know, drop Gabriel. I think I would leave the team. Sorry about the challenge.
Yeah, nothing wrong with you. I'm saying if they were playing 3-test match, I would do it. But, you know, if we want to win, you know, I don't think we're getting enough from Gabriel. Joseph is not bowling well, too. But in Joseph, we can say we can get a few more runs, and he's more agile in the field. And they're bowling much of a muchness, and Gabe has more speed than Joseph. But, and then we have Campbell there. He's in and thereabout. And our captain not solid in innings. We have a guy that is batting well. Or we could even bring Hope in. But anyway, well, I'm just expecting if they play the same, it wouldn't hurt me if they play the same team. But I'm just saying that this is something that I could look at. I would look at, I would explore, because we need to. You really don't change a. We can call that a winning combination, because although we didn't win, we were able to carry the matches to the 50. And that
but
is,
you know, one thing I might do, Leon, is,
yes,
you know, looking at the fact that the Sri Lankan spinners are so almost, dare I say, deadly on that wicket there in Antigua. If we're going to drop a quick bowler, maybe we need to bring in another spinner. What do you
think?
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Orkan coming in for Gabriel and Bravo coming in for Campbell.
Okay.
And
we move up
Bonner to open. To me, Bonner can be an opening match, and Craig Bradford and Campbell not doing, giving us a lot of opening, good opening partnership.
Mm-hmm. I could go with bringing in a spinner if I was going to make the change, a spinner, at least one more, because the Sri Lankan spinner has certainly showed us, I mean, they are special and they're very talented, but they use the wicket well. And Rakim in the first match, he did bowl reasonably well and got the breakthrough when we needed it. So I think I'll try another spinner. But yes, you're right. And let's hear what somebody else has to say on that.
Well, we don't have nobody but Virgil. Virgil, what do you say? You want to keep the same team? But not wrong about keeping the same team, but I'm just saying, just get a different look to the puzzle.
Yeah.
And see if we can get work in India with Cornwall. I see a lot of people writing, say the bowl well in tandem. So why not? Why not try something? If you enjoy the match, but think we can do better. I think Warwick can combat more than Gabriel too. You know, I just hope that.
Another thing which strikes me, Leon, is that the pitch seems to favor spin rather than pace. Or we don't have a pace bowler that is, shall we say, wily enough to challenge the Sri Lankan batsman. But the pitch itself, as prepared, this particular wicket seemed to be a spinner's paradise rather than a quick bowler.
Look at how the Sri Lankan pacemen open up. The left armer, he got a couple of wickets because he's bowling fuller. Look at Lamar, he was able to contain the batters for West Indies. They bowl maiden after maiden and they're pace bowlers. We don't seem to be able to do that. We bowl in runs, leg byes and wides and, you know, and not bowling on the stumps at all.
Azari is
guilty of that too, but Holder is bowling well. And you got to use Mayers some more. Mayers needs to bowl at least a couple more overs. He's as quick as Holder. You got to use Mayers a little more. And we need to bowl these guys out. We did it in the first innings. Yes. After 69, tremendous performance. But then you needed them in the second. They were, we didn't have a bowler to prize them out. So that's my
concern. Right.
I want to win. Yeah. We want to win. But if they play the same side, I wouldn't have no problem. But that's my if I was that, I'll go in there and say, listen, guys, this is what I would do for me. I have been away from cricket a long time, so just my way of thinking. Might be backward, but nevertheless. Anything else? Go ahead. Talk to me.
Leon, if you look back to the West Indies in the 60s or in the 70s, we always had a bowler who could come in, a quick bowler who could come in and change the course of a match. What we don't seem to have currently is a bowler here who has that greed, well, maybe not greed, but, you know, that anger to get in there and say, look, I'm going to take charge. And very often our quick bowl, and I saw this in England last year when they played on those green grass wickets in London, in England, where you tend to be able to seam a ball. The bowlers are just not bowling up, the quick bowlers are just not bowling up to their potential, in my opinion. And I'm not sure if the problem is in the coaching or if the problem is in the bowler's head themselves. Because last week we discussed with a coach the changes that you would when you're coaching a bowler. I remember using being coached to vary my not only the pace, but the angle and the direction and the way I hold the ball. And all of this doesn't seem to be coming through to our current crop of quick bowlers. And so I don't understand why they are struggling so much to get in there and really challenge the batsman, the quick bowler, I'm speaking.
Well, let's ask Virgil, because he was a quick bowler. Sometimes he say he bowl a couple of no balls and get some wickets and nobody called him. Virgil, what's the...
You remember when Hussein Bolt was running so fast? You know what they said? He was eating that yellow yam.
Yes.
Long time ago, he eat solid food. Most of these guys now are eating some soft food, most likely junk food. So these guys don't have. I don't think they have the right energy inside of them. I think some of them need to go back and eat some real raw food. But the pitches itself is one that I think help to kill our fast bowler.
Mm.
Because no matter how much these guys run in a bowler, but because I remember the same match someone was talking about, Butcher, who played for England, the two matches that he played on the Caribbean, one of them played in Antigua. And I remember Andy Roberts running into him, and I remember seeing that bouncer. But the keeper, every ball the keeper collect, it was above his head.
Yeah.
Right? And he's keeping way back. Right now, this keeper is keeping like half the way that this keeper used to keep. Because the wicket is so dead that no matter how much you run in, really, the ball will have to hit something for the ball to go up and the keeper collect the ball over his head. So I think it's the pitch that we have, the wicket that we have, killing the fast bowler. Because the fast bowler needs something to... You know, when you run as a fast bowler and you see the ball kissing and taking off, you're giving everything that you can get put inside of it. But when you're bowling and you're giving everything and the ball not going away, you just start, you know something, you just go normal. You need something to give the fast bowlers an encouragement, and we don't have it in the Caribbean no more. And I think that's what's killing them.
But Virgil, how Luckman can contain our batters so much?
How
the young, the left arm quick, I forget his name now, he too has been able to bowl. We're not bowling the Yorkers. We're not bowling the length. We are bowling short.
He said, the left arm. Remember,
yeah,
now,
left
arm, as myself, normally get swing. And as long as you can swing the ball, whether fast or medium, you'll give any bowler, any batman, a lot of problem. And you see, for a left arm bowler, as long as you tear up the ball, that's when you get the swing inside the ball. And that's the beauty about a left-hander. Take the ball up and you get... Once you drop off like a short of a length, you're not going to get the ball to swing. Because they can see from far. But when you carry up the ball, that's a lot of problem for the batman. And for... As I said, Sri Lanka have a left-hand bowler, which is an A-plus to them. Probably we can't say we need some in the Caribbean because we have some, but these guys not take... carrying the ball up enough, then guys bowling short of a length, and you're not getting a swing with a ball like that. So you have to use the advantage as a fast bowler. I know I wasn't fast. I bowled, some of the guys are faster than me, but normally when I open the ball, normally I get up, most of the time I always strike with a wicket first because my ball and them swing. You have to take the ball. If I drop it short of a length, everybody will beat my ball. But once you take it up there, do a lot of damage, and these guys, especially the left-hand fast bowler, they're nice, they need to either work on that and they practice and take the ball up, because Yorker is, as a left-hander, especially with Yorker for left-hander, is one of the most deadliest ball for a left-hander with fast bowler, because you know something, the ball is going to swing. It do more swinging than the right-hander bowling a Yorker, and left-hander Yorker is more dangerous than the right-hander Yorker. And most of these guys need to work on that instead of just trying to bowl short ball or something like that. Work on those things that will get you wicked.
Yeah, anything else to add? So you...
I think that, Virgil is right. And the other shortcomings of these bowlers is that they are not varying their pace. They're not varying their pitch. They're not varying the deliveries that they're putting down. It's almost straight up and down, and they're just not. But again, I'm going to say the hard surface play wicket in the Caribbean, 10-2
yeah.
perhaps, make bowlers do things that are not really what they would do on another surface. But it shows up when you go to places like England and New Zealand and Australia, where the wicket tends to be more on the green side, then they just
yeah.
don't know how to use that because they haven't.
Hold your thoughts. Oh, we have Simon with us.
Yeah.
We have Simon with us now, and we got to go to hook up with Lawrence at 8 o'clock. So, Simon, good evening to you. Welcome to the...
Good evening to you. I was on for about 10 minutes, but I said you'll soon see my finger and you'll spot me.
Okay.
How are you? And good evening to all the panelists. And I'm going to tell you, I want to say good evening to everyone that's there. At the moment, I heard Virgil and Mr. Patel, Audley, President Ivo, who is Cardinal, and all the panelists and all the listeners all over the world. And I heard Virgil telling you how he can do the swing with his left arm swing, bowling and all that. So that was very, very interesting. I'm so happy to be back here once more with you men who know your game so well, so talented about the game and of the game almost as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everyone had a wonderful week last week, and we're looking for a much better week this week. I want everyone to be safe, stay in your crease. It's better to be 6 feet apart than 6 feet under.
Yes, indeed. Why don't you give us your question? That's the only thing we can do. Evening. Give us your
time. We could do it another time.
Yeah,
we'll just,
give us. Because
I just want to hear the scores, rounding of the scores. We can do it another time.
Oh, you just
because
don't
we wouldn't
have
time.
Mister,
I could give you a quick question, but
why don't we ask Dennis to do? Give you the score, Dennis. Why don't you do that? In the meantime, I'm going to try and with our guest.
Did you say the score?
Ahead. Well, give him the scores of what you have so far.
Tell me how the match went, because I spoke with Audley during the week, and he gave me a rundown, filled me in quite a lot. But I know that Virgil is right there. I called him. I said, Virgil, you at the match? He said, no, but I'm listening to it. So I know he knows quite a lot about what's going on there.
Okay. The West Indies score, in the first innings, Sri Lanka was... restricted to 169, Tirimani 70, and Dick Weller scored 32, with Roach 3 for 47 from 16 overs, which is a very good piece of bowling, and of course Jason Alder 5 for 27 in 17 overs. That is excellent performance there from the West Indies first innings. The West Indies first innings, we had six players who got in there, buckled down and, pick up the challenge, and they fought back because the Sri Lankan bowlers bowled extremely well. And a last sort of hurrah from Rakeem Cornwall, 61 runs from 85 balls, helped the West Indies to amass 271, and the Sri Lankans were then behind by about 142 runs. They batted, and what a performance that was in the second innings. Tirimani, another 70. Fernando, 91. Dhananjaya, 50. And Nisankar, a marvelous 103. And Dick Weller just missed out on the ton by 96. So Sri Lanka managed 476. Before being bowled out, setting the West Indies 334 runs to win. Of course, West Indies got in there and they were disciplined. They got their head down. But we have to give credit to the Sri Lankan bowlers because they were the ones who restricted the West Indies batsmen. Nevertheless, the West Indies went on to thank Nkrumah Bonner, who scored a... maiden century, 113 not out, We scored 31 in the first innings, which on average, that gives him an average of almost 140-odd runs because he was out only once.
Only once?
For the match. Yeah. And Mayer's 52. So that was it. The West Indies kind of struggled a bit. There were times when we thought the Sri Lankans would push, you know, would push the button and get them out. But thanks very much to Bonner and Mayers, they held out for a what we would consider a tame draw in the long run. So tomorrow
okay.
is another.
Thank you so much for that rundown. And I spoke with Audley during the week. I don't know if he's on tonight. I haven't heard him. I was saying if the Sri Lankans, in my case, I would have declared earlier, put West Indies in, get about 3-4 wickets that evening and put the pressure on them next day. But then they decided to bat on longer, which they lost the game. That's how I looked at it. I was discussing that with Audley, and he said no because West Indies had 4 sessions to make that runs. They didn't make any 4 sessions. But you know, for a team to make 100 runs in a fourth innings is very, very hard, very hard. So they batted very well to make over 400 runs. No.
Oh, Sri Lanka batted extremely well, and you know, I give full credit to their players. You know, they knew what the task was after the first innings, and they buckled down, and they did just it. I really think that the West Indies needed to have added another 100 runs in their first innings, because then that would have really challenged the Sri Lankans. But they
Sri Lankans, they would have to have batted longer to make that runs, because remember we were leading them by 130, you said? Do you think I was right in saying that Sri Lanka should declare earlier and put West Indies in earlier and have a go at them, have about 3 or 4 wickets that night, and then next day they can just make up? Do you think that would be a good idea? That's what I was discussing with Audley.
I think Sri Lanka recognized that they were struggling to have a decent performance.
Yeah.
And they realized that with the West Indies capable of going the chase. This is why, if you noted, the West Indies have batted second in just about every match they've played against Sri Lanka in this particular series, regardless of whether it was one day or T20. Or even the test match, the West Indies have opted to bat second all the time, and they seem to have the knack of winning the toss. So Sri Lanka recognized that if they had shortened their own innings with fewer runs on the board, they run the risk of putting the West Indies in the driving seat, because they have batsmen who are capable of striking the ball. And I suspect, so I think I would not agree with you on that point, but certainly, they have the bowlers who could challenge, but at the same time, you couldn't take the chance that the West Indians would, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if you were on the show one evening. I asked the same question one evening. I said, I'll give you a scenario. We have to make 300 runs in a day, in 6.5 hours.
Yes.
300 runs to win. When you send your men in 11 o'clock that morning, you tell them, you want us to make the 300 runs, or you want us to play for a draw? What would you tell them?
No, I would never go in and tell them with that time to play for a draw. I would say go in and look at the bowling. If the bowling is as good as the Sri Lankans bowled against the West Indies, then there was no point even attempting it. But at the same time, we have to remember that you are a batsman. You've got talent, you've got skills. So if the ball is there, then take the game to the opponent. But one thing I fault the West Indies for, Simon, is that they didn't look to push the single often enough. They were quite content to push back and hold on as if they were trying to save a match rather than bat with the idea that I'm going to push for the single and see if I can challenge them to make mistakes. And they didn't do that. And that's why I that's where
I get
I
you. And next hard question for you. is, because you know the game so well, do you think West Indies could have won that test?
Yes.
Do you think they could have won it?
When they went in, I thought, yes, they had a good chance. But the Sri Lankans took that away from them by virtue of bowling tight. And the spin bowlers made sure that they were pitching on a line and length, and the West Indian then suddenly realized that, look, this isn't going to be easy. So they shut up shop. They shut up shop because when you look, everything, the head was over the ball and the pitch and the bat was angled. They were not taking any chances. But because it's a two-match series, they were probably thinking about their own ability to make the side next selection process. So I think that's what happened there.
Yeah, okay, thank you so much. Thanks for that explanation. Because I was saying, I said to my men, look, we are going in, if we have 90 runs at lunchtime, 90 for two, I'll tell my men, go for the runs, go for the win. If you are struggling at 95 for four, I say shut up shop and pray for a draw. But let's go back a little bit now. You know, we can't talk about things that happened years ago when we had talented players like you. do you think if we had good players like Greenwich and Rowe and Lloyd, we could have knocked off 300 easy?
Yes, but you have to remember, Simon, it depends on the bowling. And I really think that Sri Lankan came here with a good army of spin bowlers.
That's West Indies' downfall. You know, when I was in England, they tell us all the time, there are only two West Indians who can play very good spin. One was Carl Hooper, and the other one was Shiv Chanderpaul. They were the best players of spin. Our players, they can play fast bowling very good, but they don't have the patience with the spin. Like when Roe was on the other night and I was asking him, I said, would you prefer to play spin or fast bowling? He said to me straight out, Simon, I want the ball to come to me. I don't want to be going through the ball. So that's what his answer. Most West Indians have that idea. They prefer to play the fast bowling. You know, I played for my club in Middlesex. I was number two batsman, you know, it's a whole lot of fast bowling. But I was much preferred to play the spin, you know, but no, that's how it is. But, you know, I'm not going to criticize them. They played well. Sri Lanka played very, very well to make 400 runs in a second innings. That's a very, very good score. Very hard to do.
Without a doubt. And, you know, it's up to the West Indies to recognize their strong points as well as their weak points. And then when the occasion demands it, they should be able to move their game based on what they perceive as their strong points. Now, I would not go out there and tell him at 11 o'clock in the morning, go for the win. And certainly when you say, go out there and play for us, play your match. And you put pressure. You see, you tell them go out there for the win, you put pressure on them, and you see rash shots. You tell them go out.
And they get out, right.
And
let's hear what the other panelists have to say about it. Virgil especially. Virgil, you heard us? Oh, he's very quiet.
Sorry, I didn't get to hear that one.
No, I was saying to you, I think that West Indies could have won that match. I was saying to my buddy there.
Dennis.
You think they could have won?
No, anything is possible. But you were saying if Sri Lanka had declared earlier, Sri Lanka would not take the chance because if you give West Indies an extra session, a couple extra session the day before and have an extra day, I think as long as these batsmen stay there, they will probably even knock off that run. So Sri Lanka, I think did the best thing. But, I mean, it's possible that could have happened. West Indies could have hit off that run, but there was...
Yeah.
In it both safe both ways.
Yeah, and I was saying to him a while ago too, you think if we had those, I wouldn't say, talented players like Rowe and Kanai and Butcher, do you think we could knock off 300 runs in a day?
Yes, of course, man.
Okay. No, I just wanted to know from you men who know the game much more than I do. That was my thinking, you know. That's what my thinking. Because I remember when West Indies scored 418 in Antigua against Australia, that was an impossible task. I didn't think West Indies could ever do it. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think West Indies could make 400 runs in the second innings. But they did it, you know.
We're unfortunately we're not gonna have Ro with us this evening, so we'll just have to continue with our show. We're not gonna have him with this evening again, so we will just continue. So Simon, when you guys are finished, we have a question from the panelists. So go right ahead and answer. Go ahead with what you mean, and then at the end of it, we'll ask you.
No, I was just talking with Virgil,
I said, if
Sri Lanka did declare earlier, put West Indies in, get about 4 wickets the day before, put pressure on them, they could have won the match, but then they wouldn't take that chance either, you know, because West Indies could go in and win the match, they could go in the next day and still make 300 runs. You know, cricket is such a, you know, unpredictable game, you know. Like I was saying to you during the week, I was teaching my granddaughters about the game. He said, Papi, I really love this cricket so much. I said, well, that's our national game. I've been following since I'm 3 years old. And I said, you know, in cricket, one man can make 400 runs. And the next day, 11 men can make 100. They said, how is that, Papi? I said, that's how the game is played, you know.
Okay.
Now,
hold your thoughts there because we have been joined by JT. Jatsna, good evening, Jatsna. How are you doing? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Not saying much. Good evening, everybody. We're going to start youth cricket coaching coming week.
Youth cricket.
And a good evening to you as well.
Thank you, sir.
This is Simon here in Central Florida.
And you have a vacancy for young people like myself?
Sure, come on in. Yes, sir. Come on in. You're most welcome.
Okay.
We're
fine, and even finer that you have now joined the panel. So, yeah, have a wonderful evening and enjoy the rest of the evening show. Simon.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We have JT with us. I'm going to ask you to name a cricket ground in Australia, one in New Zealand, one in Antigua, one in Jamaica, and one in Guyana. Just name a cricket ground.
Oh, you talking about me, Mr. President?
Yes, that's the question this evening. Just name a cricket ground in Australia.
Okay, well, I'll give you Australia first.
I could give
you Australia first. The cricket ground in Australia that I know is called the Gabba. That's in Australia. I don't know which province it is, but I always hear about the Gabba in Australia.
Is it in Western Australia or in Sydney?
Okay. I didn't know which town it was, but I know there's a cricket ground there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's in Australia. Which other country you want me to give you?
New Zealand, West Indies, and did I say England? Yeah, you would say Lord, so I don't give you West Indies. The West Indies.
I could also say Edgbaston too, because your buddy there would know where Edgbaston is. Yeah. Okay, and we could also say where my brother lives, Old Trafford. That's where my brother lives. He can walk to the cricket ground in 20 minutes. He lives in Manchester. He is a fanatic about cricket. When they're playing cricket in Australia, he doesn't sleep all night.
My family always loved it.
That's how I get so much involved in it, because I was about 3-4 years old. My mother said, come on, kids, come on inside. It's getting dark. When I come inside, my father and my brothers and sisters listen to cricket. I say, how are they playing cricket in Australia?
Simon, it's getting dark. Why are you straying for my questions? I asked you.
I gave you the Gabba.
Yes.
And I gave you Edgbaston in England.
Yes.
And I'll give you Coolidge in Antigua. Okay. And I'll give you Sabina Park in Jamaica. Did you say Jamaica? But I'll give you that one.
New
for good
Zealand.
Luck.
The one I want you to name is in New Zealand.
Okay. Then that's the one that you got me stumped there on. New Zealand. That's when I didn't know. I have to be honest with you.
You know, you heard Basin?
No. I know the plane Wellington, but I don't know the name of the ground.
Okay. Virgil, you know ground in New Zealand?
I was watching the game today, and I should have known. Watching the replay today. Not often, no.
Okay.
How about you?
So I learned something tonight then.
Dennis, you know?
Does this ground, the one with the name Park in it?
No.
Like Seddon Park?
No, Oval.
It's an oval. No. Then I can only think of Wellington. I can't think of any other.
The town Wellington, but I don't know the name of the ground.
Jatin, tell us. You know the one, Basin?
Auckland is a big one. Eden Park.
Eden Park.
Eden Park.
And what about the oval? What's the one? What is the Basin Oval?
Basin Oval is in Hobart, Australia, which is a northern island of Australia, something like that. The other one is, Nelson Park in Napier. That's in New Zealand. That's another big ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the only third one I know is, I believe it's a town. I forgot the town name. But that's a Bay Oval, they call it. They have two grounds back-to-back in that one area. And usually put a lot of national tournaments. So then there's a one in Dunedin. It's called a simple name, University Oval.
University Oval. Okay, now you know, Simon. Now you know at least a couple more cities. So
Yes. Thank you so much. That's my reason for coming on the show, to learn from you men who know the game so well.
I think I recall Basin Reserve is also a one of the grounds. Basin Reserve or some, but they don't use anymore now because they...
They played one the other day in the Basin Oval.
I believe the Basin Reserve was used way back 15, 20 years back, because after that, they built a new ground, something with the town name, Wellington, some ground like that.
They played it the other night.
Okay.
I was watching the match in the Basin Oval. I watched it.
Okay.
Yes. But Audley's back. Audley, any thoughts that you have in mind? We talked about a cricket ground and...
What about
the one in Trelawney?
That's the Trelawney Stadium. That's a multi-purpose thing they want to use with track and everything. Yeah, that was built for World Cup cricket when it was held in the Caribbean. The second one usually is the one in Montego Bay, Jarrett Park.
You have
Sabina Park and you have Jarrett Park. Regional games when it's not played in the Sabina Park, it will play at Jarrett Park. That's a ground that they also played soccer, football.
Mm-hmm. A joke about Sabina Park. When I landed in Jamaica and went to Sabina Park, that place was like a billiard table, man. The grass was green and it was level. I say recreation grounds, take out. Because that was a good ground. And of course, going to Lord's, Simon, man, a friend of mine, he bowed down and kissed the earth. I say, <"Whoa." laughs> that's a true story. He took down on his knees and kissed the earth like he scored a century. But anyway.
Let's move on.
Did anybody mention
that Sachin Tendulkar has the coronavirus?
COVID, yes. Yeah, I
along
with
one of the Ephraim brothers, one of the Pathan brothers as well.
Because of the
tournament they had, you know, of course he captained England, India to the victory. the what it was, something like road safety competition. I mean, guys,
yes.
if you have missed those, some of those, you have really missed some. When you look at Lara, Ridley Jacobs, like he hasn't lost anything at all. And most of the players, I mean, they were not away from the game at all. Yuvraj Singh, wow, here's something else. Yuvraj Singh, right? So you know, if you can look up in the archives,
Tino Best, anything? Tino Best, what do you think? They say he was bleeding run.
I didn't happen to see Tino bowling because sometimes when it's being played, I was not home. But sometimes I catch some of the highlights, you know. And you'd know that those guys were away from cricket at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jatin, what do you have in store for us? We never hear you mention anything about New Zealand against them. Is it Bangladesh?
Mm-hmm. Not much because that series looks like a one-sided. New Zealand is on winning stride, as always, when they play home. If they are the tough competitor for any visiting team, doesn't matter who visits there. And Bangladesh is going through some rough time, basically, because they don't have a couple of players who can compete with the experience. And it should be like not much attention going on while they have a couple of good series is on the schedule. One is the India-England, which is just got off now. And some eyes are still focusing on West Indies and Sri Lanka series, which is getting more attention than people can talk about New Zealand and Bangladesh one. And now it looks like in a matter of week or two, all the momentum and the attention will be shifting towards the next
IPL.
By the way, IPL made a lot of changes. Let me update on IPL.
Go ahead.
Yeah. There is a couple of new things are implemented in terms of the decision making. The first biggest surprise is they are removing the soft signal by umpire from field when they go for the TV review.
I heard today, not only that, but they want to get it out, period.
Exactly. Not only that, I was always in argument on that one. Why you are going back to NC Empire's call? You are equipped. There's a couple of reasons. I posted that note in America's Cricket Coaches group openly.
Mm-hmm.
That third umpire is in the best position to make the right decision. Think about it. This person has the extra time to review the technology over and over if needed. That's one of the biggest things. Number two, he is not a time constraint. He can take some extra time if needed. Field umpires don't. So that's a beauty. Going further, I will say something is going on talking about this cricket here and there. And I believe that after the TV review, they're supposed to declare a decision what the third umpire believes, and that's supposed to stay. The reason for that, it's a common sense. I listen to a lot of fans and people who are watching TV or watching the game from outside without much knowledge as an umpire or coach. They are completely confused. Here's the situation. There is a decision given on the field which is not accepted or convinced by either party, whether it's or fielding. Now you are going for a third umpire to review. After the review, does it make sense if the person says it's umpire's call? So what's the point of this third review then?
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be the other way. They could have said the other way, hey, this is my decision, similar to the field umpire. That can avoid the conflict. But the word they are using, umpire's call, is a so now they are removing that one in IPL. There is a few things also coming up. So we got the soft signal is going out. Umpire's call will not be. It will be final decision coming from upstairs.
Yes.
And there is a third thing is going to happen in probably Ahmedabad. I have not the confirmed message yet. But this third umpire will be automatically counting the balls on the scoreboard with the voice now. So technically, umpires don't need to count 6 balls. They can say 13 over completed, 13.1, 13.2, 13.3. Right?
But when would they call this? In between the overs? In between the overs?
No, I think after the ball is dead. After the ball is dead, and they are going to flash a screen for a, I will say, maybe a second, and that should start 13.2. Immediate screen will read the score at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But they are ordering the audio. They are ordering the ball. Go ahead.
You were saying they get rid of the soft signal. What I think they should get rid of, you see that umpire call? When they say the ball have to hit more than 50%, I think an umpire, and I believe umpire can treat by doing that. Because if I bowl, and I bowl the ball, and then the ball with a LBW and the ball would have hit the stump, and it's less than 50%, and the umpire said not out, I don't get my wicket. But if you bowl, and the same identical thing happen, and the umpire said that you're out, then they remain and said umpire call. So you can get 4 wicket by the umpire doing that, and I do the same identical thing, and I don't get no wicket. To me, as long as the ball hitting the stump, and the third umpire can say it's hitting the stump, that call should have changed and just said you are out, whether it's hit, once it's hit. If it's not hitting, you're not out. It should not remain umpire call, because umpire can cheat by that, and I believe a lot of guys will get wicket, or some people will stay in their wicket. You'll get your wicket both ways. If I bowl the ball the same way, and you bowl the ball the same way, and the umpire said, if he said not out, and we go upstairs, and the ball hit in the wicket, it should be out. And if it's not hitting the wicket, it should not be out. And I think they should get rid of the umpire call, because you can cheat by that.
I don't believe it. Let me
tell you on that one. Okay. I'm not sure they're going to implement or not, but that was the heavy discussion under the IPL umpires on this situation.
Mm-hmm.
In normal case, you know that even the ball goes very close to the bells or stump like a whisper,
mm-hmm.
but because of that wind effect, if the bells is off, batsman is out, period,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it believed that it might have a slight touch, very slight touch, but that touch is good enough to wobble the bells, and that matters as a wicket, right? So
mm-hmm.
why in umpire's call they are going for that ball, whether it's a 50% hitting or not? It doesn't make sense. As long mm-hmm. as the ball is touching, even a 0.01% of the ball size, fence will be out.
Yes,
and I believe that thing is coming.
Yes,
that thing is coming. Yes.
I believe that.
We have seen lots of decisions can go either way because of this 50% of the ball. I don't get
yes.
it. How do you know if the 50% ball is hitting stumps or not?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using if you're using technology, you should go all the way with it. You understand?
Exactly.
If it's hitting, whether it's barely hitting, 50% or what? If you said out, you should be out. That's the whole bottom line. Because then you can have
problems. Let me tell you why this thing is happening. India will be going heavily towards now technology very soon. Just wait. Because IPL is one of the prime event. World's most attention gets that tournament, and they need to improve the standards, so they are implementing a lot of technical things to improve the outcome where they can convince the fans and viewers. Mm-hmm. Here is the situation. In this current series, I have seen 2 decisions. I will say anyone can see those and will not agree. In one case, you have the 2 hands wide open, and ball is close to the ground, and it's given as ball is taken as a catch. It's a horrible decision, I will say. Number 2,
I agree 100%
there was a run out. Mm-hmm. It's been reviewed about 5 times, and you can clearly see the bat was on the line, but mm-hmm. I don't think it make it ground contact beyond the line, and it's still termed as a not out. There are a few other decisions out there, and I believe the both side captains were a little bit vocal with the umpires, a lot of things being turned down, and they learned a lot of things from the last year's IPL in Dubai, and I believe they are upbeat to improve the tournament, what they learned from last IPL as well as during the last year need to be improved and implemented. So I believe the better tournament is coming. But honestly, I will say it will not be just third umpire. I will not be surprised if we're going to have third and fourth umpire with the computers at outside the field. They're going to raise
Dennis,
one more umpire.
Dennis is trying to get in. But Dennis, come in. Dennis, you're trying to...
I have a question, because what I don't understand is what is happening here with this technology discussion. Because I watched for the first time, really, this series in Sri Lanka with the use of the technology. And I've noticed that each time I guess that's the third umpire who's doing the discussion upstairs asking for the movement either way. Is that correct? Is that the third umpire asking for it?
Yes.
TV umpire.
Yeah.
TV umpire.
You know, where he would say forward or back or so on. Now, watching that type of discussion there, I don't see where there's any issue, because it's quite open where he's asking and he's telling, and we can clearly see what's going on. So I'm not quite sure what the discussion is about, the changes and the uncertainty, because upstairs they seem to get it right with the technology, and they come back to the umpire on field and said, your decision is correct, he's out or he's not out. I mean, can somebody explain to me what I'm missing here?
Okay, here's the problem. Here the problem is that because of what they call the soft signal. When the umpire is not sure, especially we're talking about the series that's just been concluded between India and England.
Yeah.
The umpire is standing at the stump, and the ball is somewhere almost on mid-wicket boundary or somewhere there. And the catch was taken from where he's standing. Not even the square leg umpire could have known whether the catch was taken or not. But yet, he gave his signal, his soft signal was out. And because of how the law stands now, when the umpire says it's out, then when it goes upstairs, whenever the television umpire does the review, if he cannot have the whole thing completely through that, you know, the whole conclusive thing and say yes, it's out. If any uncertainty, he's gonna say, look, it's not, you know, they're not it's not conclusive. So, therefore, he cannot make a decision on it. And that is what, his hands are really tied according to the law, how it is
right now.
So, he has to go back to the on-field umpire who already gave the south signal as out. But we are at home watching, and I saw the one Mr. Patel is talking about. I was watching it. And that ball, the man's hand was not under the ball. When the ball jumped again, one finger was under the ball when it jumped back in his hand. And so, and because of that, he's saying he could not make up his mind, and he went back to the on-field umpire, and he was given out when the ball actually hit the ground. So
can you, if you could see that from the home screen?
Replay.
Why was the third umpire in such a pickle? It just means that you need a different third umpire.
Dennis, hold on one second. Let me explain to you this bullshit now here. I can tell you, if you look at his both hands, wide open, he can even catch a small-sized watermelon. How you can say he has a fingers under the ball? Tell me. There's enough pictures out there on internet. I can even send you the clip if you need it. the palms are wide open. There is a huge gap between the two hands. How you can convince that this person had a finger under the ball?
But is that what the third umpire in the screen said, that he had his finger under the ball?
No, he said it was that inclusive.
He wasn't sure. Wasn't right.
He wasn't sure.
Inconclusive, so you can't make a decision.
Inconclusive, yes.
But is the umpire not looking at the same sequence of events that you were seeing at home?
He did.
I would suggest that he would change his glasses. I would suggest that he change his glasses.
So
I can tell you, this is the hot topic. I already set the fire for the some of the umpiring groups, and I clearly told them that cricket has still this nonsense going on for a long time. For example, I'm coming from soccer world. Every year when you're trying to renew a license, there is a fitness test, there is a physical test, the medical test, and both need to be compatible in order to take the field. What these cricket umpires to have, what sort of test they need to be umpire? None. I will say, with this growing technology, with the intensity of the game, the quickness in T20, this will have some sort of standard where the umpire must have, let's say, 20/20 vision test, some hearing and vision test, as well as the fitness test, your mental test, because sometimes you are performing under the psych pressure, right? For today's game, the decision was going towards the last two balls, 12 runs needed. It's a huge mental, psychological pressure. Does this umpire is willing to take? I'm not talking about this existing umpire, but they need to have some sort of standard, some sort of testing before they put in a big arena.
But the question is, Jatin, are you talking about the on-field umpire or the third umpire? Because the question to me is that if the on-field umpire isn't sure and it goes upstairs, then the decision really ought to be the one upstairs, because he has the technology to look at this thing carefully.
So that is what,
and
that is
he
what
should look.
We are trying to say that even that third umpire, I will say, make sure that person is without glasses. You know, because this thing you can see with the bare eyes, right? Even on the field, I believe even the wicketkeeper can see that with these wide open hands, there is no way you can have a finger under the ball. Period.
This sounds to me like
the leg umpire was about 25 yards from the incident. How come he cannot see?
And Jensen, it took a long time going backward and forward, and so I don't know how in heaven they couldn't see that ball on the ground. When it stopped the frame, the ball was resting on the ground, right? But you know, things like this have to happen, that the changes are implemented, and that is why the IPL right now has untangled that web where that is answered by not you allowing the umpire to give us off signal. Things like these happen in a big international game where the world, millions of people are focusing on the game. So that is how changes are implemented. And it happened at the right time.
But
and
the benefit of the doubt, even though the umpire didn't give us off signal, or the benefit of the doubt should have goes to the batman. Because now you go to the third umpire, and he have the camera, he can replay, he can slow down, and he cannot come out and say, look, this was confirmed that he took the catch. If he said this was confirmed he took the catch, then he says, oh, but if he cannot say for sure, so certain that he's out, the batman should get the benefit of the doubt. And the other thing, Dennis, the other issue that they have with the umpire call. Now, I'm bowling. Okay, I bowled the ball to Audley. Wrap him in the pad for LBW. I appeal. The umpire said out. Now Audley review, and they go upstairs. And the ball is hitting, like, maybe 10% of the ball hit the stump. Now the umpire says out. He give him out. Now you bowling now. You bowling to Mr. Patel now. Okay? You appeal for LBW. The umpire said not out. and then you challenge it and you go upstairs. Now the ball is hitting even 20% of the stump. And because of the umpire said not out, you cannot get a wicket, which I think is wrong. Because here now, I bowl the same ball and hit 10%, and now you bowl a ball and hit 20% of the wicket, and because the umpire said not out, you cannot get the wicket, which I think that should change using the technology. As long as the ball hitting the stump, whether the umpire said out or not out, and you challenge it and it goes up and you show that it's hitting the stump, you should be definitely out.
The IPL has just taken the first step, so it's on his way out. Believe it or not, it's on his way out. And this is
something that
I've
heard. He's talking about the soft signal.
That's part of it. So Mr. Patel said they're discussing that too. And I've discussed it Leon too on this program time and time again about that soft signal and that, you know, umpires can really. That's one way that umpires can cheat. They can fix the match that way without even being considered anything like that happening. So once they have taken that tool away, the soft signal away from the umpire, leave it completely, or as Coley puts it, you know, there should be another signal. The umpire can say, look, I'm not clear. So from I'm not clear, you decide the television umpire. Yes.
So, oddly,
question.
Yes. No, wait, before we go, I just want to let the listeners who joined us late, our thoughts about the postponement of the West Indies Cricket Board annual general meeting, which will be held on April the 11th at 10. And the reason for that is that they didn't have a quorum. Two board members or two territories or two countries did not appear at that meeting. They didn't have 9 votes. They only had 8. So, oddly, could you give us your thoughts on that? What you thought would have been your opinion about the non-showing of those two delegates from Barbados and from Guyana?
I don't know the circumstances around the, you know, the absence, but in a time when we everybody is up with the technology now, you don't have to be in a room physically again to have a meet. I understand something you want to keep private, but if you're gonna have a private Zoom, you just give the numbers to enter the Zoom to the people who you want to be in that meeting. So look, I don't know the circumstances. As I said before, I don't know if they don't want to have a Zoom meeting. But with COVID, what is going on, a lot of things that we didn't think could happen is now the norm. It is now the norm. A lot of people are staying home and you're in church first time. It's like, oh, dare you to have online service. Oh, okay, if something happens, you can't go to church. One day you could watch it. But then COVID said you can have, because of that, you have virtual church and you have a whole congregation and more people would never come in church too. So the same thing should apply to a meeting, something like that they're having, set it up virtual, and if it can't happen, well, the person would have, our persons who did not show up would have to have a very, very good explanation for the non-show, and at least we should hear about it.
Just to add some more information, because there was an emergency meeting held afterwards, and two of the 4 delegates that were missing showed up and participated.
So is it a matter of just being late, maybe, because sometimes there are circumstances beyond your control, and I'm quite sure that should have been publicized if that was the case. So
it was virtual. It was virtual.
Okay.
It was virtual, there's no need for... Unless there was some technical difficulty which prevented them, but there was a no-show.
That could have been. We know how it is with technology, right?
There was no technical difficulty. It was a deliberate
no.
That's your opinion as to what you thought should have been an action that the West Indies Cricket Board should take for those people who missed.
If it was done deliberately, I think some action will be taken against them, seeing that we know that an election is supposed to be, you know, upcoming, you know, near. Why should they do that? There's some apology or some action to be taken against such members.
Okay. All right.
But what action would you sanction?
I don't know. There gotta be something. I mean, maybe they could be reprimanded publicly.
Sanction to work, you have to have a clear-cut decision. And in this situation, because it's a meeting of delegates, it's almost impossible for you to sanction him without saying to the group, the body of Guyana and Barbados, since they failed to show, we are no longer recognizing these individuals as your representative. But then you're forcing them to change their delegates. So the question is, there's not much you can do other than change your bylaws to say that in the event of so-and-so happening, then this is the action we take.
That's a very good point.
Unless you change the bylaws,
you guys have to consider whether it was sanctioned, their non-appearance was sanctioned by their boards.
Well, we don't know at this point.
You see, we don't know that yet. You don't know if it was an individual decision or the board. You can't punish the board if they're dedicated to the plot thickens. Yeah.
What's wrong with the individual saying to the board, the committee, the group, look, I was ready to go, poised to go on, and then I fell ill. You cannot prove it because it's a Zoom conference. So you have no choice, really, but to say in the bylaws, in the event of so-and-so not being able to, then he must
have a second person. Yep. I like that.
You know, and that second person can submit, you know, can fill in. And this is where the board needs to make sure they change their constitution so that something like this does not happen again, simply because somebody wants to play a little bit of politics or get their ego bruised. It's what may or may not have happened. So that's how I see it.
Simon, are you with us?
Yes, I'm listening.
Are you understanding what's happening? You're understanding what happened?
Yes, I heard what you said.
Okay. So
I just do this
so that you can understand what is going on. Okay.
So yes, I heard that you said two delegates didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
From Guyana and Barbados. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm listening to you.
Mm-hmm. So, Jatin, you, as you were saying, you wanted to bring another point from outer India. What about Sachin Tendulkar? You think that he's going to be okay, well taken care of?
He'll be all right. His wife is a doctor by profession, so he'll be fine.
Okay.
That's good.
And the IPL will go on without anything. Can anybody suggest who is going to be the winner of the World Championship? There are a lot of fans of India, but do you think New Zealand is overdue to win something?
Well, yeah. When it comes to India, your guess is as good as
not
mine.
Not in India.
No, it's not in India. The one is England. In England, and Lords.
It's not going to be at Lords again.
Is it going to be changed? Okay. All right.
The venue has been changed, but it's still going to be in England, yes.
Where they going, Old Trafford or Edgbaston?
It's towards the Cardiff.
In Wales? Near Wales?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember the name, but I know it's west of London.
Yeah, west of London. I know that one.
And of course, you know.
Is it going to be a virtual thing? Or people are going to be allowed to go in, but unlimited?
I think they did say they're going to allow 50% of the spectators
you know, the capacity coming. But then this whole thing is it continues to change. Today is one thing, tomorrow, because of you know, listen to the result, how many more people contacted the virus, so they could push it back again. See what is happening. You know, we're talking about New York. Well, New York, everything turned over because the governor that everybody was praising, find that he was hiding numbers and all kind of stuff. And right now, New York and New Jersey, once again, is number one and number two in the corona infection. And, you know, everything was coming under control. Now, again, they are number one and number two. So this thing continues to change. So what they're saying today could mean something else tomorrow.
Audley, any changes for the West Indies team for starting tomorrow? Your opinion?
No, in my opinion, I don't need any change. I was listening while I was coming on. I heard Virgil and, you know, saying you replace the opener with replace Campbell. No, somebody has said you replace Campbell, bring in Bravo or one of them, and then use Bonner to open. No, I understand then. Sorry, Virgil. Why would you want to change a guy who's playing in his third match? He has done very well where he's batting. Why would you want to change the whole thing now to put him up? I know sometimes it almost feel like an opener when the batsman, one of the opening batsmen out for one or two, but in the meantime, that same batsman could be there facing 20, 30 balls.
You ask a question, I say because I feel safer with him opening than Campbell.
The whole thing about it is that... If Bonner was a guy who has a, you know, bulk of experience, have playing in his 20th test match, you know, playing in his 25th, 26th, you know, matches, so to speak, I would look at him and have a record and say, well, he has batted well here and he has batted well there, a situation. So let us move him up. But he's still young, still finding his footing. And as you mentioned earlier in the program, the first West Indian to bat all day for a very long time. I mean, brought home the match for us, so to speak, by drawing it. You know, it's like a win, you know, because when the Sri Lankans, the tails were up and the guys stayed there and batted for all this time and not out. And then the very next match, you're going to say, okay, you've been doing so good, I'm going to ask you to open. I wouldn't do that. Let him stay right here.
Difference of opinion, but the point is,
yes,
I feel more secure with him
batting
there than Campbell right now. Campbell is
right.
Not only Campbell, the captain too. The captain still not so secure. We need a solid pair opening batsman.
In this instant, Leon, I have to go with Brathwaite. I know that he, because after Sri Lanka was bowled out and we went into bat, the way the guys were bowling, the whole thing is that forget about the win. We are not going to win the match. Go out there and see what happened. And when they were bowling so good, the main question was now, forget about the runs. We are dealing with occupation of the crease. And that is exactly it. So the long time he stayed out there to make a few runs, this time it was very valuable in the last innings, because it killed a lot of time that the Sri Lankans would have, you know, somebody to bowl again. And so he, I think, on this occasion did his part by staying there for a long time to make his run, his contribution, and then give us better opportunity to bat out the 90 overs the following day. So on this one, I would have to go with him. But on a whole, then yes, we have to remember one year when the ICC was choosing the Test cricketer, the Test team of the year. Brathwaite was the only West Indian who selected them, but he did well that year. You know, he did well that year.
Okay. Gentlemen, we are coming to almost the end. Let's give Simon a last push. Simon, any questions on your mind before we go? Quickly, Simon.
I want to ask you talented men and ladies one quick question. Do you think that the captain said to his men, I want you to play for a draw. Don't go for any runs. Play for a draw. Do you think he said that? He said, just play your normal bat and see how it comes out. What do you think he said to them?
Let me answer you first. I can't think for the captain. I don't know what the captain says. I'm not going to go into his head. I was the captain. I'm going to say to the guys, look, guys, we did this in Bangladesh. And now let us go out there and play positive cricket. We try to play positive. And let's see what happened the first hour or by lunch. And then we decide what we're going to do from there. So that's how I would do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Audley.
I think because when Mayers got out and Blackwood got out, I thought the chase was off then. I think when they started the day, I felt they could do it. But when those two key batsmen lost the wickets, I think the chase was off then. And Bonner did the anchor role, and he did it magnificently. And someday, if not now, if not tomorrow, you can open for West Indies. I tell you.
Gentlemen, you know, the thing that stands out in that second innings of the West Indies, Braithwaite faced 124 balls for 23 runs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bonner faced 274 balls for 113. And Mayers faced 113 balls for 52. So it seems to me that they went out there not with the intention of looking for runs, but with the intention of occupying the crease. Too many balls were dot balls in those innings for you to think that they wanted to win the match. They were being very careful about their selection for the next test series.
Well, the first night, it obviously that they were playing to secure their
wickets. Not to lose wicket
at night. So those would have meant that they would have absorbed a lot of dot balls. So I don't have a problem with that. But coming out of the next day, you had how many runs? 300 and something runs. They could make it, but the wicket was still good. It often helped to some of the pace bowlers, and there were runs still in the wicket. So, but
you have to remember, it's a new captain, too, and you don't want to lose it as much after he was handling the captaincy.
Exactly. Yeah. But your final thoughts, Simon? It's now...
Well, that was it. Thank you so much, gentlemen. You haven't let me down. You know the game so well. That's why I'm on with you every Sunday night to learn much more about the cricket, because you know your games. I must say that. And it was a wonderful show tonight. Everything was well done. As usual, held it. Team together. Mr. President, you do a great job on the show. I want everyone to have a wonderful week this week. All be safe. And we'll be back here next week, Sunday, with God's willing, to have another show from 6 to 9. Have a wonderful week, all, and be safe. Good night, all.
Good night to you, Simon. Virgil, come on in, and then we bring in Judge now. And Virgil, say goodnight. Jatsna, say goodnight to your friends. And well,
good night, everybody. Be safe and take care. And great show again. See you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say...
All right, have a good week, sir.
Good night.
Thanks to the members of the IPL for start to change some of these man... rule and goes towards, if you're going to technology, and just hope they keep on going further so we can get a more even game between both sides. And to all the listeners out there and to all the members of the panelists, good night, and we will see or talk to each other again next week. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about you, Mr. Jatin? Your final thoughts? Jatin, come on in, Jatin.
He disappeared.
He's gone with the wind. Yeah, he's gone.
He's probably there.
How about you, Dennis? Dennis, your time.
Well,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to say good night to the panelists and, of course, to our listeners, wherever they may be. And I want to say it was a very spirited afternoon, despite the fact that we did not have our guest as we thought we would. But the discussion was spirited, and it was, of course, back and front and back and forward. And I look forward very much to the start of the next test tomorrow. My only disappointment will be after April the 2nd that we won't be able to talk about West Indies performance until next January. So I'm deeply disappointed about that. Mm-hmm. And I won't be. It will be a very bad summer for me and probably for others too. Thank you all very much for your attention, and I look forward to being with you again the next time for the next show.
Yes,
good night.
God. Thank you so much, Dennis. Thank you for coming on early and pick it up with me early on. Audley, your final thoughts?
Yes, I'm happy I was able to.
Did you have an inside edge that you want to slip in between the two?
Okay, the inside edge for today. The man who has played the most test matches, we know, is Sachin Tendulkar. But do you know who has dismissed Sachin Tendulkar the most in his test career? It's a man from England called James Anderson. Yeah, they played. He bolted Tendulkar in 14 test matches, and he dismissed him on 9 occasions. James Anderson in the inside edge. Okay. So a very brief appearance, I've listened while I could as I, came along the road. But just want to say have a wonderful, wonderful week coming. We are not as bad with the COVID as earlier last year. And as I mentioned earlier in the birthday, Stafford, one of our own, was here. Saturday will be a year since he died, along with Leon's brother. died from the COVID. So, So please, still be careful. I've got one shot already of the Pfizer vaccine, and we'll be getting the other shot, God willing, next month, the 8th. So be careful as we go. We tend to drop the guard sometimes because people are not dropping dead every day like how it used to be. So please be careful. All right, so as we go, we know we all like to be loved. You want to be loved, and this for today, no love, no friendship can cross the path of our destiny, don't leave in some mark on it forever. So make sure that as we cross the path of others, there's something, some love, some loving thing that will be left there forever. God bless you. Talk to you next Sunday. Have a great week.
Yeah, Ivor, if he wants to come in, just open the line. I saw him at the bottom there. I don't know if he wants to come in. 1, 2, 3.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. Believe it or not, they just stepped in the door. Mm-hmm. You sure you don't have a radar on me? You have a GPS on me?
Oh.
I just stepped in the door, believe it or not. Well, folks, we'll meet you again next week for Easter. So I'm going to wish you guys a happy Good Friday, Holy Thursday.
Yes,
Holy Thursday coming up. So we're still in Lent, so spend the last few days of Lent and reverently. And again, like I said, we'll do it again even on an Easter Sunday. I listened when I could, maybe for the last 40 minutes or so when I was driving. God bless.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you so much. And gentlemen, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. God bless. See you on the radio next week, God's willing. Here we go out with two great fast bowlers. Wait a minute.
Welcome to
two great fast bowlers. One is Virgil.
And Australia being played at the Queen's Park over here in Port Bay, Trinidad. It's an interesting game. It's going to be Cesky Ambrose, the big man from Antigua. He's going to pick it up from the commentary box there. He's moving in now, passing up the key box and both the people. And he plays it out. He's popped by Larry in the play.
Was great bowler.
on his way. He's there, he holds the palace head, pushes across the line, shot at a man, a lot of people, baby, that he has to win.
Gary Sobers was an all-rounder, so his bowling caught some attention. And I have to mention Cal Hooper, another all-rounder of distinction. Lance Gibbs was our greatest spinner, that's a fact everybody knows. But the greatest batsman we ever put together was Courtney Walsh and Ambrose. So Mr. Empire, raise up your finger, and next man get caught in the cover.
Them fellas were great bowlers, them fellas were great.
Another man gone,
where?
Back to the pavilion,
look!
No change to the score, Lord, the crowd in a pro.
Them fellas were great bowlers, them fellas were great. Them fellas were great bowlers, them fellas were great.
The combination seemed to have worked. The West Indies getting the kind of stuff they wanted.